Tonight was the first SmackDown of the Triple H era, with SummerSlam in the rearview mirror. And he made it very clear tonight who is running the show. We had a final closing segment tonight that was supposed to be Roman Reigns addressing Drew McIntyre, his opponent, his challenger for the championship at Clash at the Castle. That is the next big main event coming up. That is Roman's next challenger for the undisputed title. And as Drew McIntyre was walking to the ring at the end of this show, all of a sudden we heard a familiar theme song, a theme song that we have not heard in WWE in many, many months, because this is a man who was released by the company. This is a man who, when he was in NXT, was pushed very hard by Triple H, and he was considered to be a can't-miss project. And not everybody was a big fan of his work, but he looked like a star. He carried himself like a star. He's the sort of person that WWE, you would think, would have gotten behind. He's the kind of person who fit the mold of what WWE typically looks for. From the moment he got called up to the main roster, they completely fucked up everything about him. From his aura, his look, the way they used him his first night on Monday Night Raw, everything that could go wrong did go wrong with this man, and he never really got a full shake, a fair shake on the main roster. Whether you're a fan of his or not, you cannot honestly say that he got a fair shake his first time around on the main roster. And then he got cut. Like so many others over the last year and a half, he was released. And there have been rumors of late that perhaps he'd find his way back into the fold with Triple H taking over. There were a lot of rumors that maybe he would find his way back to WWE. And in fact, there was a report earlier today on Fightful, just today, talking about how there's been chatter within WWE about the possibility of Karrion Kross making his return to the company. The biggest surprise of the night wasn't that Karrion Kross was on SmackDown. It was the fact that it was on SmackDown tonight. Is that it happened this quickly. Karrion Kross and Scarlett together on television. Karrion Kross and Scarlett back in WWE. That is the surest sign yet that Triple H is taking his new position very seriously. He was a personal favorite of Triple H's. Triple H made him the NXT champion. He came up with this whole elaborate entrance for him with the music and the smoke and Scarlett singing the theme. Everything about it screams star. You thought one day that's going to be a WrestleMania entrance. So we know Triple H is a very big fan of his. And we saw him come out at the end of the show tonight, not only lay waste to Drew McIntyre, but he put Roman Reigns on notice, the biggest star in the entire company, champion for almost 700 days. And his first night back on TV, he put Roman Reigns on notice. The hourglass, the sands of the hourglass are ticking away. Tick-tock for Roman Reigns. That was a hell of a cliffhanger to close out tonight's episode of SmackDown. And also, you know, what was so shocking about it is the fact that this guy just wrestled on the Ric Flair pay-per-view that I reviewed on Sunday. He had that match with Davey Boy Smith Jr. He has other dates booked. That was the most shocking thing about this, is how quickly this all came together. And not only is he back, but it also gives a big name now to the SmackDown roster at a time when SmackDown and Raw could use some new faces, whether it's bringing people back, whether it's calling people up from NXT. Scarlett and Kross together, that's the money act. That was the other thing they fucked up about him when they called him up to the main roster. I think Scarlett was hurt. They called him up and they didn't bring them up together. Vince McMahon supposedly wanted Scarlett separately on a completely different show to be a wrestler. You had them together as a package deal. It worked in NXT. It worked before NXT. It could work on the main roster. Vince McMahon didn't see it that way. So it's not just that Karrion Kross is back, but he's back with Scarlett at his side. And that is going to be a big addition now to the SmackDown roster on Friday nights, and it creates a whole host of possibilities now. It makes things a lot more interesting when you look ahead to Clash at the Castle and beyond. Where does Kross fit into all of this? Right? We just assumed that it was going to be Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns one-on-one, and I still think it will be. Might they turn it into a triple threat? Again, I don't think they're going to want to do that. Although turning it into a triple threat could be a way for Roman to lose without actually losing. Is that going to happen? Or are they setting up Karrion Kross to be the number one challenger coming out of the pay-per-view for Drew McIntyre? Or is Drew McIntyre not going to win the championship now? There's a lot of questions and a lot of possibilities now that it creates. And exciting ones, I think, coming out of tonight's show. But the message that was sent to me when this show was over, Triple H is wasting no time. When this week, when we look back on this week, Triple H is wasting no time in righting the wrongs of his father-in-law. Vince McMahon was not perfect with a lot of his booking decisions, a lot of his creative decisions now over these past many years. In this week alone, we have seen Triple H rehire Dakota Kai, another one who was let go by the company. Call up Io Shirai, who along with Dakota, Vince McMahon had no interest in putting on the main roster. There were opportunities to bring them up. They both had dark matches. They were never called up. Dakota got let go. She's now back. Io is on TV. Scarlett and Karrion Kross back on TV. And not just back on TV, but back on TV in a prime position. He is wasting no time in making his mark. And not only that, but we actually had the word hospital mentioned on the show tonight. Now, I know in the grand scheme of things, that's kind of a minor thing, but I noticed that right away. That right there is the biggest sign yet that change is in the air here in WWE. It wasn't a local medical facility that was referenced. It was a hospital. That's the surest sign yet of change in this company. But you want another sign of change in that Triple H is flexing his muscles. Shayna Baszler, another star from the black and gold era. As Triple H tries to right the wrongs of the past and the disrespect that has been paid to the black and gold. Vince McMahon many times shit on the black and gold through many of the decisions that he made. Triple H is now trying to correct those decisions. Shayna Baszler was a star from the black and gold era. She was another one. Triple H pushed her very hard as a top star in NXT. She was NXT champion for a long time. She was a world beater on that brand and was never booked that way on the main roster. Even when Shayna Baszler initially was called up and they turned her into a fucking vampire. Remember when she attacked Becky Lynch? This was heading into WrestleMania before WrestleMania went to hell. And Becky Lynch has said that she pitched the idea, and I don't know if at that point she wouldn't have known that she was pregnant, but she pitched the idea she wanted to lose. She wanted to lose the championship to Shayna Baszler, which would have made all the sense in the world because Shayna was the new star at the time. And Vince McMahon said, no, we're going to keep the title on you. And then it was only a few weeks later that we found out she was pregnant and she had to give up the title anyway. But in NXT, Shayna Baszler, that was a very different version of Shayna Baszler. Well, Shayna Baszler is now the number one contender. After tonight, for the SmackDown Women's Championship, it will be Shayna Baszler challenging Liv Morgan at Clash at the Castle for the title. No surprise there that another Triple H favorite getting a push as we forge ahead. And then the announcement that starting this Monday on Raw, they're going to be kicking off a women's tag team title tournament. When Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out and they put those belts down on Johnny Ace's desk, I'm not even sure if Johnny Ace was in the office. He may have been in the closet doing something with his assistant for all we know. But they put those belts down on his desk and they walked out of the arena. That was back in May. May 16th, I believe, was the date. And ever since then, we had the announcement later that week that at some point in the future, WWE was going to have a tournament to crown new women's tag team champions. And it was never mentioned again. Triple H has taken over. And all of a sudden, we have breaking news from Michael Cole tonight that starting on Monday, they are in fact kicking off a women's tag team title tournament. Now, me, you know how I feel about the women's tag team titles. I think that you should have a big bonfire and they should have been burned. Perhaps things will be different under the Triple H regime. Maybe he has a different view and a different vision for where he thinks things should go with the women's tag team titles. I'm still skeptical. But at least now we have some clarity about what the future of these titles are. But the bigger story here, potentially, what does this mean as far as Sasha Banks and Naomi? For all the stories about Karrion Kross that were popping up this week, and boom, there he was on SmackDown, there have been far more stories about Sasha Banks and Naomi, who were doing C2E2 this weekend. They're going to be doing that convention. Everybody made such a big deal about the fact that Sasha Banks is charging $30,000 for an appearance at this convention. Well, the convention is this weekend. It's tomorrow and it's Sunday. And both of them were scheduled to be there. I would seriously doubt that they would talk about their future if they are coming back to WWE. They probably will be mum about that, but we'll see. Are they going to come back? Are they going to end up right back in WWE now that Vince McMahon is gone and Triple H is in charge? Sasha Banks has worked very closely with Triple H. She's worked under Triple H before. She trusts him. And he knows that she can be a real asset to them on television. Somebody who is a star. Somebody who should be focused on. Does this announcement about the women's tag team titles indicate that there is another return in the works for Sasha Banks and Naomi? I have more thoughts on the women's tag title situation and what teams might actually be in this tournament, which is a whole other issue. But we also had AEW Rampage tonight, which was a rare live edition of Rampage. The show was bookended by two street fights. And I'm not so sure that the Jon Moxley match was ever advertised as a street fight, but that's basically what it was. For what I thought overall was a fun, quick hour of Rampage. So we will get into all of that. You're getting a double review tonight, your Smack Page review. It is August 5th, 2022. I am the Solomonster, and I thank you for choosing me for your Friday night coverage. I will say, you know, this SmackDown show tonight, there really wasn't anything radically different about SmackDown tonight up until the ending of that show. It was not a bad show, but if you look at the rest of the SmackDown show, it really looked very similar to the way SmackDown has looked for many weeks now. But then that ending came out of nowhere and it kind of blew me back because I wasn't expecting it. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, oh, this SmackDown was so great tonight. I would not call it a great show. But you can see where certain things are headed. They are headed in the right direction. And that is the key. These things are not going to change overnight, but I love the fact that we are being introduced or reintroduced in some cases to new faces on the shows. The shows can use a freshening up. They could use some new faces. They could use some new blood, some new stories. We are starting to see that. The seeds are being planted for these things now. And I love the fact that Triple H is not wasting any time. It would be very easy for him to just kind of assume the chair and maintain the status quo. Take your time, take things slow. But you can see that he has a certain vision for where he wants to go with these things. He wants to shake things up a little bit. And he has done that this week. This was only week one, officially, post-SummerSlam. This was only week one. But things are headed in the right direction. And that is what makes it exciting, all of a sudden, to follow these WWE shows and see where things are going to go. Who might pop up next? Who might he bring back? Do me a favor and hit that sub button, because I am very excited that we are less than 50 subscribers away from 70,000 here on this channel. I would love to have a celebration with all of you when I come back here live on Monday to talk about Raw. When I come back on here Monday night to talk about Raw, I would love to be on here with 70,000 subs on this channel. So I need you to hit that subscribe button to make that happen. Also, smash that like button. Super chats are open. I'm sure you will have some things to say about this show tonight. I will read all of your messages, so please drop a super chat if you would like to. And for those of you who are channel members, I do just want to mention this. For those who are members of the channel, there is a brand new members-only Q&A. That went up earlier this morning. It is over an hour long. 70 questions. We talk about 70,000 subs. I had about 70 questions that you guys dropped in a little over a day in that members-only post that I put up. And I tried to answer all of them. So if you're a channel member, you have access to that video. It is up right now, answering a whole slew of different questions. So go ahead and check that out. That is up on the channel right now. So let's get into the SmackDown show, and then, of course, we will talk about Rampage immediately after that. SmackDown opened with highlights from SummerSlam, which was followed by the arrival of the Bloodline in the parking lot. They arrived separately in two SUVs. The Usos were in one, and then out of the other one, we had Roman Reigns, and they made their way into the arena. Back in the arena, Pat McAfee and Michael Cole were ringside, and Pat McAfee was all excited. He was all excited about his big win over Happy Corbin at SummerSlam, and he used his own telestrator. So anybody who used, remember the old Bobby Heenan, the brain scan? He would draw on the screen. Jerry Lawler had the Royal Magistrator. Well, Pat McAfee was having fun with his own telestrator tonight. And he was using it to highlight the spot from the match at SummerSlam where he kicked Happy Corbin in the balls. He was having way too much fun with this. Corbin was shown watching on a backstage monitor while some of the SmackDown roster stood behind him and laughed. Ricochet stepped forward and he said that karma is a beautiful thing. Corbin said that he would wipe the smile off Ricochet's face. And Ricochet said that he would like to see him try. And then he challenged him to a match. And out to the ring they went. That led to our opening match between Happy Corbin and Ricochet. And yet another sign. Yet another sign here in the Triple H era that apparently Ricochet has been given booking power in this company. Ricochet now has the power to book his own matches. Because he just went right to the ring. And it was official. One-on-one, it was Corbin and Ricochet. I will say this. All this praise about Triple H and the excitement about changes that are being made. The one thing that we need less of on these shows, and we have gotten a lot of it over the last 2 weeks, we need a lot less talk about balls. Because I feel like over the last 2 weeks, before SummerSlam, at SummerSlam, and now after SummerSlam, all I've been hearing about are the Miz's tiny balls, and now I've got Pat McAfee who's just talking about balls and showing us people getting kicked in the balls. Enough with the balls. No more balls. I'm all balled out. If I don't hear about balls for the rest of the year, I would be perfectly happy. This needs to be a ball-free zone for the rest of the year. So I don't need any more of that. This company is obsessed with balls. It's amazing. Corbin backdropped Ricochet at one point during this match. He backdropped this fucker so high that he almost went out of camera view. He launched this guy into orbit before Ricochet fell down. Ricochet, you know, when Ricochet is on, Ricochet is always fun to watch. But you put Ricochet in the ring with a guy twice his size, and Corbin's a bigger guy. Ricochet excels. The way he can bump for them and everything, it just there's a certain chemistry there that just works. So Corbin was still distracted. He was being distracted by Pat McAfee during this match. He is still distracted by Pat McAfee. This guy is living rent-free in his head. He's looking over at him at the announce desk. He's like, he's still obsessed with him. And it ended up costing him. Ricochet crotched him on the top rope. More ball damage. Ricochet nailed Corbin with the recoil and then went up for the shooting star press for the win. After the match, McAfee stood up on the announce desk and he threw a small Nerf football to Ricochet in the ring. And Ricochet caught the football. McAfee said, throw it back to me. So he pitched the football back to him. And then McAfee signed the football and he punted it into the crowd. It's almost like this guy's had experience kicking the ball before. So he punted the ball into the crowd. More balls. More fucking balls on this show. This one he signed, at least, before he launched it into the crowd. Anyway, I thought this was really good stuff from these two, and I would think that it has to be a hopeful sign. If you are a fan of Ricochet and Ricochet's matches, you know, look, Triple H is very keen on him, another person that Triple H brought into the black and gold and was featuring pretty prominently before he and Aleister Black got called up together and they were put together as a tag team on the main roster, which... And they made it work. Those two, for the time that they were a team, they made that work. But again, never made any sense. As far as, you know, focusing on them as a team and not separately. I know they were a team in NXT right before they left, but they were singles guys. And they should have each had their own separate debuts, and that's not what they chose to do. But the fact that he is being featured on TV here, not that he was never featured under the Vince McMahon era. I mean, he was the Intercontinental Champion for a cup of coffee. But again, the fact that Ricochet opened the show tonight, got a pretty good reaction from the audience, went over here in this match, I would think would be a positive sign if you're a fan of his work. And the other aspect of this that I like is that with this losing streak that Corbin now finds himself on, remember, he lost to Madcap Moss, right? He lost that feud. He lost to McAfee at SummerSlam. He lost to Ricochet tonight. So the guy's on a losing streak. Maybe we're going to get a version of bum-ass Corbin back. Maybe, you know, broke-ass Baron Corbin was the most entertained that I have ever been by Baron Corbin. And then he went and his luck changed and he became happy Corbin. And all of a sudden, I didn't care to see the guy anymore. So if he falls back on tough times and we go from happy Corbin to chronically depressed Baron Corbin, then I think that this could be fun. So that's the other aspect of this that I liked. Sami Zayn was not at SummerSlam, but he was here tonight. He was shown in the back and he was approaching Roman Reigns' locker room. He was about to knock on the door. And he did, and then the Usos answered the door. And Jimmy looked happy to see Sammy. Jey Uso just had this annoyed look on his face. And Jimmy said that Paul Heyman needed a few days at home after taking the F5 from Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. That's why he wasn't there. Sammy said, okay, well, that makes sense that he isn't there because I've tried to text Paul, and he hasn't gotten back to me. So maybe that explains why he hasn't responded to me. So Sammy wanted to go speak to Roman. Jay, though, told him it wasn't a good time. And Jimmy said, don't worry, I'll text you. And Sammy said, okay. And he walked away. We had Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Ludwig Kaiser. If Nakamura wins, he gets an Intercontinental title match against Gunther on SmackDown next Friday. And it was very noticeable to me here in this match. They're still clearly piping in crowd noise. I know everybody's excited. I'm excited about all these changes, hopefully more changes that we're going to be seeing. And you feel optimistic now about the WWE product for the first time in a while. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still piping in fucking crowd noise. And it was noticeable to me here during this match. And again, it just, to me, it casts everything into doubt when you see this. And you actually get things maybe that get a legitimate reaction on the show. Is it real or is it not? That's the thing I hate the most about it. You know, I don't know sometimes whether or not what I'm hearing is what they want me to hear or if it's genuine noise coming from the audience. But it was noticeable to me here during this match. Michael Cole referred to Kaiser as a former two-time NXT Tag Team Champion. And I am almost positive that is the first time that he has been acknowledged as such since being called up to the main roster. I cannot recall a single time that he was even referenced, any kind of NXT reference for Kaiser, let alone the fact that he was a two-time tag team champion. So that was very interesting. And you know what? It's sad that I even have to mention that. That's such a basic fact, right? This guy's called up. The announcers mentioned the fact that he came from NXT. He was a champion in NXT. The fact that I even have to mention this, like this is news, is sad. Because stuff like that, this shouldn't be, oh my God, I can't believe they mentioned that, but that's how it is. A simple fact like that, I don't believe that's ever been mentioned before, but it was mentioned tonight. Nakamura won the match with the Kinshasa, and Gunther was not very happy about it when it was over. So next week, the two of them are going to meet for the Intercontinental Championship, which should be a very good match, actually. It's going to be the biggest match that Walter has had since coming to the main roster. Outside of him winning the Intercontinental title. It's the biggest challenger that he's had. All due respect to Ricochet, this is going to be the biggest match that Walter has had. In the back, Kofi Kingston was all by himself, and he was being interviewed by Megan Morant. Boy, the New Day is down to one, right? Big E is out. Xavier Woods, they did the injury angle with him last week. He's out. Kofi's there all by himself. The New Day is down to one. And he said that Woods would be out for a while after the injury from last week. He says he would make the Viking Raiders pay for what they did to him. You know, he was way more jovial here in this segment than he should have been. You know, given what they did to Xavier Woods and how upset that he was or how upset that he should have been. I know the New Day is all about the power of positivity. That's what it is, right? They're all about positivity. If ever there was a time for a segment where positivity would go out the window, this would be it. And I thought he was a little too jovial for the situation, given, you know, what had happened to his partner. But he made up for it later in the show when he came out to attack the Vikings with that kendo stick. He came out swinging with that kendo stick. See, what I would have done, I would not have even included this segment in the show. I would have just had Kofi come out later on as a surprise and just start fucking pounding away on these guys with that kendo stick. I don't even think this segment was necessary. So we're back to Sami Zayn. This was a show-long story here. Sami Zayn comes back. He did say he was going to come back. So Sami comes back. He's going to try to catch Roman Reigns. And the Usos come out again. And Zayn says that, you know, he wasn't sure. You know, I don't have great cell service in this building. I wasn't sure, Jimmy, if you texted me or not. You said you were going to text me. Jimmy said that he was just about to. He said that Paul Heyman usually takes care of making certain arrangements to make sure that Roman's entrance is perfect with the music and the pyro and everything. He said, you know, you'd be doing Roman a huge favor if you could do a favor for us. And he said, if you can go to the truck and make sure that's taken care of. And Sammy was like, yeah, that's not really my job. And Jimmy said it would mean a lot to Roman. And Sammy reluctantly said, okay, fine, I can do that. I can go take care of that. And off he went. I wasn't sure if we were going to get a Kevin Dunn cameo on the show tonight, if they were going to show Sammy going to the truck, but they never did. So up next, Kayla Braxton was in the ring, and she introduced the SmackDown Women's Champion, Liv Morgan, who became the only person to get two wins over Ronda Rousey when she pinned her. Controversial, but she pinned her at SummerSlam. Liv came out. She had her left arm in a brace to sell the damage from all the arm bars that Ronda put her in on Saturday. She was booed by a good portion, not the entire crowd, but she was booed by a very vocal portion of the crowd who started chanting, "You tapped out," at her, which she did. You go back and look at the finish. Right when the referee was counting Ronda's shoulders down to the mat, you could see Liv was tapping out. That was, you know, part of the controversy of the whole finish that they did. But she starts getting these chants of "you tapped out" from the crowd, just as she is saying that she wanted to address the elephant in the room. And so now she's being showered by boos and chants of "you tapped out." And then she reacted to it as if maybe she was caught off guard by it, which I'm not convinced of. I'll get to that in a second. But she seemed like she was a little off guard by the reaction from the audience. And she said, "It's okay, I appreciate you all calling me out on my shit," which got bleeped out by Fox. They are on network TV. There ain't no TV 14 here. SmackDown has never been TV 14. It wasn't TV 14 even back when it was on UPN, when the show first debuted. It certainly isn't TV 14 now. She said that she survived Ronda's armbar 3 different times and that she did tap out, but only after she saw the referee count Ronda's shoulders to the mat. Sonya Deville made her entrance, and Sonya said that some of the fans were biased in favor of Liv because they're very dumb. But they both know that Liv should not be the champion right now, and she said this was all a testament to how much Adam Pearce sucks at his job. Now, to go back to the point that I made before about crowd reactions on this show, I saw people, you know, talking about this already and, you know, fickle fans, and oh, they're already turning on Liv Morgan. And maybe they are. I am not convinced that the chants and the boos that we heard weren't just piped in by WWE. Maybe they weren't. But can we be sure that this was not part of exactly what they planned? I thought it was a little convenient that Liv comes out for this pre-match promo, and right at the moment that she's talking about addressing the elephant in the room, here come these chants. And then she reacts to them in the way that she did. It all felt a little too convenient for me. And again, it's hard to tell sometimes what reactions are genuine from the audience, what's real and what's not, which is unfortunately what happens when you pipe in shit all the time. It's hard to tell sometimes. So when there is a legitimate reaction, you may not think that it is. So I'd be very interested to hear from people who were in the building and actually went to the show. And actually, I think we have at least one person in the chat right now who said before that they were at the show. I don't know if they meant they were at the AEW show or they were at the WWE show, but I would like to hear from people who were actually in the building. It's possible that it was a legitimate reaction. And look, if it was a legitimate reaction from the fans kind of turning against her, this would hardly be the first time that the fickle fans went against the person that WWE is pushing. But you also look at the booking of Liv Morgan since she became the champion. From the moment that she cashed in on Ronda Rousey and won the title of Money in the Bank, look at the way that she won the championship. Not exactly a great babyface way of winning the title. I mean, it'd be one thing if Ronda was a heel, but, you know, Ronda wasn't a heel. She was another babyface. And Liv cashes in, which is her right. Right, in storyline, you can cash in anytime you want within a year. But she chose to cash in on another babyface who had just wrestled the match and who had a bum knee. And she beat her in a matter of seconds and rolled her up and she won the title. And then you look at what happened at SummerSlam. Now, I thought it was a clever finish. You know, for them to not want to beat Liv clean, but also they didn't want to put the title back on Ronda just yet, I thought they came up with a clever way of doing that finish on Saturday. But it didn't make Liv Morgan look good, right? It made her look weak because she's a babyface who tapped out. They showed the replay. She tapped out. How many babyfaces tap out? That doesn't happen very often. That's not the way that you book a strong babyface. And when the match was over and they zoomed in on Liv, she had that smirk on her face like she knew she had gotten away with murder. Can't be tried twice, right? No double jeopardy, so she got away with it. Referee's decision is final. And I came out of SummerSlam with hope that the plan coming out of this, because Ronda Rousey was not on the show tonight. Ronda Rousey, the storyline is that she has been suspended. She was fined and suspended for putting her hands on a WWE referee. Remember, she took the referee down with that throw. She put the referee in an armbar. So she's suspended. She's not going to be on TV for a while. And I thought based on her reaction when the match was over that we were getting the beginning of a Ronda Rousey heel turn. Because I think Ronda Rousey going heel is something that should have happened a long time ago. And I'm all in favor. I'm all in favor of a Ronda Rousey heel turn. But having seen what they did tonight and the way that they're telling this story, it doesn't look like Ronda Rousey is the one going heel. It looks like Liv Morgan might be the one going heel. So I'm not sure exactly what they're doing yet. It's still very early in this story. Liv is now set up to wrestle a heel at Clash at the Castle. So she's not a, if she's going heel, she's not a heel yet. It hasn't happened yet. But it, you know, after tonight, now it feels more like Liv is going heel than it does Ronda. Ronda was getting a babyface reaction. Fans were acting like she really did get fucked over at SummerSlam. So all of a sudden they're behind her and they're starting to turn against Liv. Again, if that's a genuine reaction that we heard from the crowd tonight. But we've seen this before. You know, we've seen people, you know, they win the title or, you know, they finally win the big one or whatever and the fans are behind them. And for whatever reason, the fans, all of a sudden, they get bored of them. They get sick of them. They turn against them. It's a story as old as time. This would hardly be the first time that something like this has happened. But you look at the booking and you could hardly blame the fans for looking at this woman and thinking, okay, she's a weak champion. Can't get behind this woman. She tapped out. So we'll see how this plays out. We had a gauntlet match with the winner meeting Liv Morgan at Clash at the Castle for the SmackDown Women's Championship. In this gauntlet, we had Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, Natalya, Sonya Deville, Shotzi, Aaliyah, and Xia Li. Triple H is in charge for 2 weeks. 2 weeks so far. We already have Xia Li back on TV. When was the last time we saw Xia Li on SmackDown before the show tonight? It's going to take you a while to think about this, right? It's been a while. Another one from the NXT brand, from the black and gold era before they blew everything up, that Triple H started to push, right? Xia Li, even when she came to the main roster. I praised all of those comic book vignettes. They were so well done. They were so well produced. You would think they're putting the time and the money and the effort into something like that. They must have something in mind for this woman. She's the protector. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when Xia Li debuted and she was the protector. That didn't last very long. One day she decided, you know what? I don't really feel like protecting people anymore. And that's when her television time basically went from a 3 to a 0. A 3 is about as high as it ever got for her, and that might be generous. Triple H is back, barely 2 weeks, Xia Li is back on TV. Now, she didn't do much tonight, but the fact that this woman was even on TV is progress for her. Baby steps. Liv Morgan stayed behind at ringside to watch the match. Sonya and Aaliyah started things out in the gauntlet. There were chants of Ronda Rousey from the crowd as they were fighting. Sonya hit her finish, which Michael Cole said she's calling the DeVille's Advocate, which is quite the cheesy play on words. Really, that's what they're calling it. That's what she's calling it. The DeVille's Advocate. So now, she took care of Aaliyah. She was gone. Raquel Rodriguez was out next. Now we had a light chant for Liv Morgan from the crowd. So they were chanting Ronda a few minutes ago. Now they start chanting for Liv. Again, is it real? Is it not real? Who knows? So Rodriguez pinned Sonya after hitting the Tejana bomb. That brought out Shotzi. They went to a commercial. They came back from commercial. Shotzi did not last more than 30 seconds after the break before she got put down with the Tejana bomb as well. So Aaliyah is gone. Sonya is gone. And Shotzi is gone. Raquel is in the ring. And out next, we have Natty. And she had a little bit more luck than the others before her did, but not too much. None of these matches went very long at all. Natalya got a little more offense than the other ones did. She ultimately fell to the Tejana bomb as well. Shayna Baszler was the last entrant in the gauntlet, and she went after Raquel's leg. Raquel fought back with strikes. She avoided the Kirifuda clutch and hit a corner splash. Baszler countered with a twisting Vader bomb into a Kirifuda clutch. So basically, it was Raquel doing the twisting Vader bomb, but Shayna caught her on the way down and put her in the choke. Raquel fought to her feet, but she started fading. And she tried the old spot from WrestleMania 8 with Bret Hart and Roddy Piper, the same spot that Bret Hart did his Survivor Series with Steve Austin when they had their match at Madison Square Garden. The old push off the ropes with your feet. Baszler, though, countered into a bridging pin of her own, and she picked up the 3 count. As I said, none of the matches in this gauntlet were given any real time. I mean, I think the longest match in the gauntlet probably went maybe 2.5 minutes. As gauntlets go, I've seen some pretty good ones on WWE television. This was not one of them. This was pretty bad. It was designed to make Raquel look strong before ultimately, you know, she was beaten, but there was no real drama to it. I mean, we've seen some pretty good gauntlet matches on WWE television. There was that great long one they had on Raw a few years ago with Seth Rollins. I think he went 45 minutes. I mean, I didn't need to see this go 45 minutes with these people. But that's a memorable one. Kofi heading into WrestleMania when he finally won the championship from Daniel Bryan. He was involved in a gauntlet. There's drama involved in these matches sometimes that make them memorable and make them fun, right? You want to see, there's that one person, that one fan favorite. You want to see them go all the way with it. There was none of that here. This was not designed to be a good match. This was just a means to an end. Is what this was. And the end was Shayna Baszler goes over and she now becomes the number one contender. So the story they were telling on commentary when this match was over is that Baszler is the worst possible opponent for Liv Morgan because Liv Morgan has an injured arm and Shayna Baszler, I mean, look, they call her the submission magician. That's what she calls herself. So it's bad news for Liv Morgan. And again, it creates a situation where Liv Morgan as the champion is the underdog. The challenger is the one who people expect to win, and the champion is going into this match at Clash at the Castle as the underdog. If they want to, they have an easy way to link up Ronda Rousey now with Shayna Baszler, which they have not done up to this point on TV. Now they could pull something off at the pay-per-view. They could pull it off in such a way where coming out of it, Ronda and Shayna are together as some kind of combo on TV. I don't know if that's something Triple H is going to want to do. It's something I've been pitching in the past, something I'd like to see them do, have some kind of on-screen partnership or alliance. Look, if they're bringing back these women's tag team titles, I mean, it's not going to work out as far as this tournament is concerned, but if they want to take those titles seriously, you could have Ronda and Shayna down the road. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler as a team going after the women's tag team titles. Again, it's too late to work them into this tournament now. Ronda is suspended, and Shayna's going to the pay-per-view to wrestle for the singles title. But I would love to see some interaction with them on television, and this could be a way that they could, potentially get there. But that really only works if Ronda is going heel. I think that it really only works if Ronda goes heel, and after tonight, I don't feel the way that I did after SummerSlam. It just doesn't feel to me like that's the direction that they're going to be going in here. So in the back, Sami Zayn. I told you this was a show-long thread here with Sami Zayn. He approaches the Bloodline locker room, and the Usos are there yet again. And Sami says, I took care of everything you wanted me to take care of. I sorted through all of the production issues. Everything is all set up for Roman's entrance, the music, the pyro, lots of pyro. It's going to be great. And he wants to talk to Roman. And he doesn't appreciate being given the runaround. And he says, look, guys, am I part of this or not? Am I part of this group or not? And Jey Uso, who has been giving him the evil eye since the very first segment, has had enough. And he finally can stay quiet no more. And he yells at Sami and he says, at SummerSlam, the Bloodline leveled up. Roman has two titles. We have four titles. Obviously, Sami has no titles. He says, if Sami doesn't start pulling his weight, they're going to make him take off that Bloodline t-shirt that he's been wearing. And the Usos walk off. I am still very intrigued, as I was heading into Money in the Bank when I thought maybe there's a chance, Sami was kind of my dark horse pick maybe to win Money in the Bank. Before I even knew who was going to be in the match. And leading into that, I said I was very intrigued to see where the story goes. There's got to be some kind of a payoff to this. There was no payoff to the conspiracy theory storyline. And Sami even said when he was on the Broken Skull Sessions with Austin a few weeks ago, it eats him alive. Because all that footage they shot for the conspiracy documentary that his character was talking about for all those months was real footage. They filmed a whole bunch of shit that's just sitting in the vault somewhere. He thought that when all was said and done, they were going to have a completed documentary that they could actually air. I don't know if they would air it in segments on TV or they would put the whole thing on Peacock or what they would do with it. So that's an example of a storyline they were doing with him that got dropped and was never finished. This story, though, is going to have some kind of a payoff. It's going to have some kind of a conclusion. And I have felt this entire time like the obvious payoff to this and the way that I would go with it. Because Sami has been a heel for a very long time. Sami Zayn turned heel 5 years ago. So he's been a heel for 5 years. And it feels like as entertaining as I find him to be, I think Sami is fantastic. But enough time has gone by where I think the time has come for the Sami Zayn babyface turn. And what better way to get there than to use this storyline where he has been manipulated and he has been just led around like a dog the entire time by the Bloodline, led to believe that he was, an honorary Oos and he was an honorary member of the Bloodline. And the whole time they've just been dragging this guy around and jerking his chain. And he hasn't really realized it until now. So I see this as something that is building to a Sami Zayn babyface turn. But it's the Usos that he keeps interacting with on TV. And Jey Uso is just a total prick to this guy. Well, the Usos took care of the Street Profits, right? The Street Profits are done. So the Street Profits are not challenging for the tag team titles again. They had their shot. They had multiple shots. They lost. They're done. They may be done as a team soon. Montez Ford, he could be working his way up the singles ranks within 6 months. And they have no other teams. I said this before SummerSlam when I did my predictions. There are no winners in that match. No matter who comes out of SummerSlam with the titles, you have the same problem. There are no teams. You don't even have New Day now. As if we haven't gotten enough of New Day and the Usos. You don't even have New Day now. Right? They're doing a storyline injury with Xavier Woods. You have Kofi Kingston. So what teams do you have right now? You have the Alpha Academy. You have the Viking Raiders. You have Los Lotharios. It's basically it, right? Even RK-Bro isn't a thing because Randy Orton is hurt. So what do you do? Who faces the Usos next? Who can possibly beat the Usos? Well, I have a team. I have an idea. Seems pretty obvious. I would hope Triple H, it's as obvious to him as it is to me. Clash at the Castle in Cardiff, September 3rd. The Usos defend their tag team titles against Sami Zayn and a partner of his choosing. An old friend of his that he reaches out to, who isn't doing anything at the moment, in case you didn't notice. He needs him. He needs his help. Let's get the band back together. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens against the Usos. I've been racking my brain this entire time thinking, okay, now that the Street Profits have lost, who the hell takes those titles away from Jimmy and Jay? I mean, who's left to take those titles from them? Well, I've also said recently that I think at some point, I think it was in a mailbag question, that I think at some point Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will be tag team champions. Well, guess what? Guess what just fell into your lap? The whole thing is all set up now. Clash at the Castle. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win the tag team titles. They beat the Usos. It's all right there. So I think that's where we're headed. I've enjoyed following this storyline, and it all has everything to do with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is a great character on TV. And as a heel, he's fantastic. But again, 5 years as a heel. I think the time has come. Switch him up. You put him and Kevin Owens together. They've never been tag team champions before. It's hard to believe. I think that might change a Clash at the Castle. So we have the, I mentioned the Viking Raiders. They were up next. We have the Viking Raiders in a squash over two local talents. Tommy Gibson and Jim Mulkey. I have no idea if there's any relation to the Mulkey brothers of wrestling fame. We had Mr. Mulkey here. Ivar gave Gibson a slam off the second rope. And they gave Mulkey a double power bomb onto Gibson for the win. After the match, Kofi Kingston ran out and he destroyed both Vikings with a kendo stick. And when I say he destroyed both Vikings with a kendo stick, he shattered the kendo stick across their backs. Ivar had welts all over his back. This looked vicious. And I stand by what I said earlier. They should have junked that backstage segment earlier and just had Kofi show up here as a surprise. It's exactly what they should have done. After the break, we had an impromptu match. Already in the ring, I guess Adam Pearce went and made the match. It was Kofi Kingston one-on-one with Eric. Eric just dominated for a while until Kofi rallied. He hit a truss dive out to the floor. Kofi avoided a kendo stick shot from Ivar on the outside. He ended up, in the end, rolling up Eric. It was a schoolboy finish. He rolled up Eric for the pin. Kofi gets the win. I mean, this was... What was this? You know, I mean, it just felt like filler more than anything else. Buying time, I guess, until Woods is when they think Woods is all ready to come back. You know, they'll bring him back to TV and we'll have another match between the Vikings and the New Day because there is nobody else. So this is the part in the show where Michael Cole made the announcement here about the women's tag team titles. For those who came into the stream late, we did get an announcement here on this show that they are, in fact, bringing back the women's tag team titles. They were not melted down into a chain. They were not burned. They were not dumped in the trash like Cora Jade, like what she did with the NXT Women's Tag Team title belt. They're bringing them back. And interesting timing, given all of the rumors swirling about Sasha Banks and Naomi, who were stripped of those titles. They were the last women to hold those tag team titles. Supposedly, the entire reason they even left was all based around the booking of the women's tag team titles and how they were being treated and booked on the television show. Sasha Banks had other issues with the company. There's not a doubt in my mind. It's not just about the women's tag team titles. She doesn't walk out just because she showed up to work one night and they were doing something and they were marginalizing the women's tag belts. There were other issues at play. The women's tag team belts, that was just the tip of the iceberg. That was the tipping point for her. So have they resolved those issues? Where is her head at? Is she coming back? Is she not coming back? Is she going to test out free agency? We don't know. Everybody's been speculating about this. Even the wrestling media, Meltzer and Sean Ross Sapp and all these people, all the reports, they're always so murky about, you know, they may or may not be coming back. Raj Giri was the one who came out weeks ago and said Sasha got her release. Her lawyers negotiated her release from the company and she is officially gone from WWE. But there was never any official word about that. People shit on him for it. I saw Sean Ross Sapp a few days ago said that however this all plays out, that the Raj Giri report was accurate. So it's very possible and very likely that Sasha did get her release. That doesn't mean she can't come back because things have changed. Vince McMahon is no longer in the driver's seat, Triple H is. It's a very different situation now than the one that Sasha and Naomi left when they walked out back in May. And as I think about where they could go, what are they going to do? You know, obviously the real main option would be AEW. Because Sasha and or Naomi, where else are they going to go where they're going to have even remotely the same level of visibility? They're not going to go to MLW. They're not going to go to Ring of Honor, which is basically AEW. They're not going to go to Impact. I do think that Sasha would probably love to wrestle some of those, you know, top Japanese ladies. And I mentioned the IWGP Women's Championship that's debuting in November. And I think that would look great around the waist of Sasha Banks. And I think that that's something maybe that she would aspire one day to be. Is the IWGP champion. But where is the best landing spot for Sasha and Naomi? Things never should have gotten to this point where they even walked out. Sasha Banks is a star. And I'm not saying this to mean that Naomi isn't. Sasha Banks is a bigger star than Naomi. Sasha Banks is among the greatest women's wrestlers currently in the world. I believe that. All the big matches that I have seen her have in WWE are far and away some of the best women's matches in this company in the last 5, 6, 7 years. She has been part of a lot of them. Some of my favorites. And there's no reason that this woman should be so unhappy that she just walks out on the company and says, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. Triple H can help repair that bridge. And if they can get Sasha Banks back, they would be crazy not to get her and Naomi back in the fold as soon as possible. Not to bring them back and embarrass them, not to bring them back and punish them, but to bring them back, work things out, and say, look, we have a spot for you here on the show. We have an idea on how to feature you. Here's what we're going to do. Let's get back to work. Let's get you guys back in the mix. The best thing for WWE would be to get Sasha Banks back and Naomi back, get them back on TV. I also think it's the best thing for them because they're not going to get the level of visibility that they would have in WWE anywhere else. And in AEW, it is 50-50. And I said this when they first walked out. I would love to see Sasha Banks come into AEW and she walks in there. She automatically on day one becomes the biggest star in that women's division. Tony Khan maybe now because she is such a big name and wants to feature her just by virtue of her being there. Maybe it gives more television time and more attention to the women's division. When I say that she could be a difference maker there, that's what I mean. But only if Tony Khan were to see it the same way, and all of a sudden the women start to get more time and we see Sasha on television every week. She's wrestling one woman. She's wrestling another woman. She could be a huge difference maker as far as how that division is presented. But it was always 50-50. Sasha could just as easily go there and just get lost in the shuffle. How often do we see Ember Moon on television? Not very often. Maybe she's like Ember Moon where she debuts, makes a big splash, and then we barely see her on TV. She's wrestling on Rampage. So it was always going to be a risk. Just because, you know, she would go there doesn't mean that she's going to be a big, big name. WWE should be doing everything in their power to get them to come back. They may already have agreed to come back. It may already be a done deal, just like Cross. Look how quickly he popped up on TV. Who knows when that deal was made? Maybe they made the deal yesterday. I'm sure more details on that will come out in the days to come. But there's been a lot of chatter about Sasha and Naomi. This, to me, and the timing of the announcement about the women's tag team titles coming back, feels to me like this is a way to reintroduce Sasha and Naomi back to the WWE roster. I do believe they're coming back. I do believe we're going to get them back on TV very soon, possibly as soon as this Monday. Whether they're in the tournament or not, I think that they are on their way back. So we look at this tournament, right? Now we're back in the situation that we were in before. What teams do they have? Not very many. You're right back in the same boat that you were in before. So we're looking at a tournament now. We don't know how many teams are going to be in this tournament. They didn't announce the brackets or anything like that. The only thing we know is that this tournament is going to begin on television on Monday night. Let's assume that Sasha and Naomi are coming back. Let's assume they're even in the tournament. Maybe they're like a mystery entrant into the tournament. So you'll have Sasha and Naomi back, right? If they come back, I'm sure they'll still be a team. You've got Dakota Kai and Io Sky, who are part of the faction now. I think they call themselves Control on Raw with Bayley. Io and Dakota can be a team in that tournament. Try to bring some tag team gold into the new group on Monday Night Raw. So let's say you have Sasha and Naomi back. You have Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. And then what are you left with? Natty and Shayna, they're not a thing anymore. What are you left with? You're left with a bunch of makeshift teams. You're probably going to get Asuka and Alexa Bliss. And you'll get a bunch of, you know, Carmella and somebody. I don't know where Zelina is or when she's coming back. That's another team that, you know, they were a team and then they split, so they're not even a team anymore. It'll basically be them and a bunch of makeshift teams. I was thinking about, you know, potentially people they could call up. Toxic Attraction. They could call up Toxic Attraction to the main roster. Gigi Dolin, JC Jane, they could be part of this thing. Indi Hartwell is someone who hasn't been doing much. She has been without any sort of direction ever since Dexter Lumis got shit canned. They have no clue on NXT what to do with Indi Hartwell. She barely even shows up anymore. Candice LeRae got her release from the company many months ago. Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano have not been in WWE now for some time. Candice LeRae had a baby. That was many months ago, though, right? Didn't they have the baby, I think, in February? Well, it's now August. Raw is going to be in Cleveland on Monday. I believe that we are going to see the return of Johnny Gargano on that show. Tommaso Ciampa is fighting for the United States Championship. He's going to be wrestling Bobby Lashley. I just feel like that is going to be the perfect place to reintroduce Johnny Gargano. And there is no way that if Triple H is bringing back people like Karrion Kross and Dakota Kai, that he is not going to want to make a play to bring back Johnny Gargano. Because there is no greater believer in Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa than Triple H. Because for years, the entire black and gold was built on the backs of those two men. Johnny Gargano was Mr. NXT. Triple H had him featured as his top guy for so many years. We know what he thinks of him. We know that he values him. We know that he recognizes what Gargano brings to the table. The decision ultimately is up to Johnny Gargano where he wants to go. Does he want to go to AEW and work with people like Bryan Danielson, who he has said for him would be a dream opponent? Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, all these people that he's never wrestled before. Countless others. Does he want to go there and become another cog in the wheel? Because Johnny Gargano is not going to go to AEW and end up in a top spot. It's very busy on those shows, and very, very hard to carve out television time when there's so many people that Tony Khan has to feature on those shows. And we always knew that it would get to a point where he has signed so many people that now you have to stop, and now it becomes an issue of people fighting for television time. But Triple H taking over on the main roster, this could not come at a better time for Johnny Gargano. He has been sitting back, taking his time, biding his time and waiting. He didn't know that this was going to happen. this is the best thing that could have possibly happened to this guy. Vince McMahon, why do you think Johnny Gargano stepped away from WWE? Because he knew on the main roster he was toast. He was done. And he didn't want to just stay in NXT because he had already been there for so many years. Now, it's this new era run by somebody that he knows believes in him. It's only a matter of time. Johnny Gargano, I believe, will end up back in WWE. And I believe it will happen on Monday in Cleveland. But to tie that back to Candace, if and when I'm right and Johnny does come back, Candace, I think, comes back with him. And if Candace comes back, there's history with her and Indy Hartwell, the way, right, from NXT. You could easily put them together as a team on the main roster, and you can have them wrestle in the tag team division. Or maybe even if they're back in time, you can have them in the tournament. Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, that could be a team right there. That was my long way of coming back to the idea of Candice and Indy as a team, but I wanted to mention Johnny because, again, I do believe we're going to see him on Monday. But anyway, so we'll see what the teams are and how many teams there are in this tournament. They still have the same issues that they had previously. But I do believe this is part of the plan to reintroduce Sasha and Naomi back to the main roster. And look, if they do, then this, let's say this goes all the way to Clash at the Castle and they have the finals maybe at the Clash at the Castle show. We could end up with a finals of Sasha Banks and Naomi against Dakota Kai and Io Sky. That could be your final match in that tournament. It'd be a hell of a match. Then we had the final segment, Roman Reigns and the Usos. They were out for the final segment of SmackDown with Roman addressing Drew McIntyre ahead of their match at Clash at the Castle. Roman gets Greenville to acknowledge him, and then he says that this is what we do. We defend our titles, we win the big one, we come on SmackDown the next week, and we brag about it. And this was a bloodline city because everybody was cheering them like babyfaces tonight. He said there are a few things that need to be addressed. He said, let's talk about Brock Lesnar. He says, I hate Brock Lesnar. He goes, but I respect him. But I hate him. But he does acknowledge that he has respect for the man. And he mentioned the fact that Paul Heyman, the wise man, their special counsel, was not here tonight on the show because he got F5 through the announce table. And when the wise man gets F5 through the announce table, he goes to the hospital. Yes, he used the H word. He dropped the H bomb on the show tonight. I noticed it right away. And how sad, how sick. It's like, again, acknowledging Ludwig Kaiser was a 2-time NXT champion. It shouldn't be news. Someone using the word hospital on this show should not be news, but it is. Because there's, we all have heard about the banned terms, right? And they have their own terms. Here's what you can say. Here's what you're not allowed to say. We got an H-bomb dropped on the show. I mean, if that isn't the surest sign that there's somebody new in charge, I don't know what the fuck is. So Drew McIntyre's music interrupted. And Drew came out. He had a mic in his hand and he was talking on his way to the ring. He called Roman the tribal queef. Everybody in the chat, all excited about how I've never seen so many people excited for the hospital. Look at this. All this hospital love. Hey, show love and respect to all the doctors and nurses out there. We might even have some in the chat. Hospitals are over. So he calls him the tribal queef. He says the people have heard enough. All he wants to do is get his hands on Roman Reigns. He can't wait. And all of a sudden, he is interrupted by a very familiar theme song. And we see the screen turns black and white. And on the big LED boards is the giant bird, the giant crow, whatever it is. I don't think it's a crow, whatever the bird is. But if you watch NXT, and if you remember the early days of Karrion Kross on the main roster, which frankly, I'd like to forget, but you would recognize right away who the entrance was for. There were also, I'm sure, many people in the building who had no idea at first because he wasn't on the main roster very long and maybe they don't watch NXT. So there were people in the crowd when he first came out and he attacked Drew McIntyre from behind. He jumped him from behind. Scarlett was there. Scarlett was there. She had the sand, hourglass. Karrion Kross is in his leather jacket. He attacks Drew McIntyre from behind. I think what threw people, because I knew it threw me a few weeks ago when I first saw him with hair. You're not used to seeing him with hair because for so long he has gone with the shaved head. Now he's got hair on his head. It looks unnatural. So I think that it took a little while, I think, for people to get used to that. But he jumped Drew from behind and he slammed Drew's head into the ring steps, laid him out with the quickening, which is his forearm strike to the back of the head, and he knocked him out. Scarlett is at ringside and she takes the hourglass and she turns it over. As the sand begins to pour, the Bloodline, Roman, they're in the ring watching all of this. She places it in the ring. Karrion turns around. He looks at Roman Reigns. We have a stare down between them. He glares at him. Tick-tock. And they went off the air. That is how SmackDown ended tonight. Again, I had just read the news from Fightful earlier this afternoon that there were internal talks that brought up the name Karrion Kross and that he could potentially be on his way back very soon to WWE. I didn't think that 8 or 9 hours later he would be on my television, let alone closing out SmackDown with Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre in the top angle in the company. Roman Reigns is the top star in the company. He's the top star in all of wrestling right now. Drew McIntyre is the one challenging him at Clash of the Castle. And on night one, Karrion Kross is introduced. He beats down the challenger. He stares down the champion. Tonight was almost, not even almost, tonight was the polar opposite of the way they introduced him on Monday Night Raw. You talk about the tale of two cities, the tale of two brands, the tale of two heads of creative, opposite ends of the spectrum. Think of the way that he debuted on Monday Night Raw, wearing that ridiculous outfit. Eventually, I don't remember if he had the mask on night one, but he had that stupid fucking mask. They introduce him on night one. He gets pinned by Jeff Hardy in 90 seconds. 90 seconds, his first night in, he gets pinned by Jeff Hardy. He shows up tonight. He's beating up the two biggest stars in the entire company. He looked like a fucking monster out there. He looked like a badass. Banging Drew's head into the ring steps, staring down the champion. That is how you debut somebody. That is how you introduce somebody like a Karrion Kross. This is not hard. It wasn't hard then, and it's not hard now. So how is it that Triple H knew what to do with this guy, but Vince McMahon, he had a very different idea. He dressed him up like a goddamn samurai. I'm surprised he didn't send him out there with a sword. And no Scarlett, too. Again, if I remember the timeline on that, Scarlett had some kind of an issue. She had an injury. Let's leave it at that. But even still, the plan was never to introduce her and Karrion Kross together. You have an act that works. Why split them up? Why fix something that isn't broken? It's this lack of common sense that we so often saw on the main roster when people would get called up from NXT. Change for the sake of change. Well, it's nice now to finally get change for the better instead of just getting change for the sake of change. This right here tonight, if he would have debuted on Monday Night Raw in this same way back then, he would still be working for WWE. We wouldn't even be talking about him making his return to the company. He never would have left. He would have had a fighting shot at that point. At least he would have had a chance. He never had a chance. So it's very clear that Triple H is leaving his footprints and his fingerprints, all kinds of prints. He's leaving his DNA. There's a visual all over this show. This was the biggest mark yet. I mean, Io Shirai and Dakota Kai was one thing, but this is his biggest mark to date. And again, I think him and Scarlett together, that's the pairing. That's the money pairing right there. If you want to, you know, look at the two of them. You could certainly have Scarlett wrestle, and maybe she wants to wrestle. Maybe she'll wrestle on SmackDown. But you have her and Karrion Kross together. That's already a win here on night one. And it poses some very interesting questions now, you know, coming into this pay-per-view that we have coming up. Because we have Roman Reigns defending his championship against Drew McIntyre. Do they add Karrion Kross to the match? I would say no, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense. If he just debuted, why would you add him to the main event of this show? What has he done to earn that? He could always win a match, I guess, on TV, but they already have their main event set up. I don't think it would make a whole lot of sense to make this a triple threat, unless the idea is that they want to come up with a way to split the titles or to have Roman lose the titles without actually having Roman get pinned. If you have a three-way match, you can have the fall decided between Drew and Karrion Kross. I think, see, to me, if Roman's going to drop the belt, that's a cop-out way of doing it. That is a cop-out way of doing it. And if you want to split the titles, a triple threat is actually one of the best ways to do it. I was just talking about this in the members-only Q&A. I literally just answered a question about this. How do you split the titles? If WWE wants to split the titles, which they will before Survivor Series, how do you do it? How do you do it? I had one person suggest that, you know, maybe Austin Theory, when he cashes in Money in the Bank, we find out that it's only for one title. To me, that doesn't make any sense. Why would it only be for one title? That's stupid. You have a triple threat match, very similar to what they did with Jericho, Benoit, and Angle at WrestleMania 2000. You could have one fall for one championship. You could have a second fall for another championship. You want to split the titles? You could do it that way. You want to split the titles? Bring back King of the Ring. Winner of the King of the Ring gets to challenge for the championship that belongs to their respective brand. The WWE title is still a Raw title. You have the red belt and the blue belt. The Raw title is still the WWE title. Bring back King of the Ring. Put something on the line. The winner gets to challenge for the championship of their choosing. King of the Ring carries the same stipulation that the Royal Rumble does. Only the winner doesn't get the match at WrestleMania. They get the match on a different show. You want to split the titles? That's one way of doing it. See, I don't see a need to split the titles if Roman is going to lose the belts. If Roman loses the championship to Drew McIntyre, you don't have to split the titles. That's why I advocated in the first place for the titles to be unified. Because it just feels more important when you have one singular world champion. I had no idea when I pitched that Roman Reigns was going to sign a new contract to work less dates and never show up on Monday Night Raw. Had I known that, I would have taken a very different attitude about the whole thing. But if Roman is going to lose to Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre is full-time. Drew McIntyre can defend the titles and appear on both shows. There may not even be a need to split the titles, but they will. Maybe this is one way for them to do that. Maybe they just wanted to introduce him with a splash, and he won't be in the match at Clash at the Castle, but he'll make it very clear that whoever the champion is coming out of that show, he wants to challenge for that title. Whether it's against Roman Reigns, whether it's against Drew McIntyre, he attacked Drew. So that tells me he's going to be a heel. Would they have Roman retain a Clash of the Castle and then do heel against heel for the championship? I don't see that happening. And I'm starting to think that Roman isn't even going to lose a Clash of the Castle. And if he doesn't, then at that point, if he doesn't lose to Drew McIntyre, which, I mean, you're going to Cardiff. Drew is going to have a lot of fans there. You're going to have 65,000 people at this stadium. It feels like it's time for, you know, Drew to get that big win and win the championships. If he doesn't win at Clash at the Castle, then you know what? The only person who should beat Roman Reigns for that championship, is Cody Rhodes. If he doesn't lose at Clash at the Castle, then just keep the fucking thing on him until WrestleMania at this point. And I think WrestleMania is so far away. But if he doesn't lose at Clash at the Castle, then you may as well wait for Cody. Cody is going to be the best story that you could tell. Cody coming back, winning the Royal Rumble, getting a title shot at WrestleMania, Cody being the one to finally beat Roman Reigns and win the title his father never did. The story is right there. If Drew's not going to win, then who else are you going to put the title on? At that point, it should be Cody. It's just unfortunate that Cody's not going to be around for a while. So that means another 6 months, 7 months of the bloodline and Roman is... my God, they've been killing everybody on the roster. but maybe that ends up being the best option. So I don't know. It's very interesting, though, to see where they position him on this show. He was positioned as a top guy. I mean, he was right in between Drew and Roman here. I think that bodes very well for him going forward. I don't know how they're going to handle this situation. I'm excited to find out. I'm very interested now to see where they go with this. They have a few different options that they can go in for this. But the one thing coming out of these shows this week now is we look back on this week of SummerSlam and Raw and SmackDown. Not really NXT. Nothing different really happened on NXT this week. But change is definitely being felt right now in WWE, and it's an exciting time to follow the product because even the people who stopped watching years ago, they stopped watching because they didn't like the product. They didn't like the product because they didn't like what they were seeing from Vince McMahon. He was the head of creative. And now that we have a new head of creative, it really does feel like the first time that we could see some new and interesting things on the show that maybe we haven't seen before. This was a very good first step, but it's only the first step. Now we'll see what week two looks like. And then week three, and then week four, and then Triple H will be able to book his first pay-per-view. Vince McMahon had largely already booked SummerSlam. Clash at the Castle is going to truly be Triple H's first big event. Outside of Roman and Drew, which I think we knew was going to be the match now for a couple of months, that card is going to be all his. It's going to be the show that he puts together. But so far, so good. It is a fun time to be following WWE, and I haven't been able to say that in a very long time. He is righting the wrongs of Vince McMahon, and I love it. From that cliffhanger ending on SmackDown, we go to a different show. We go to AEW Rampage on a different network. We go to AEW Rampage over on TNT. And on Rampage, we opened with the AEW Interim World Champion. This was, by the way, a rare live episode of Rampage. Usually Rampage is taped every single week. This week was not the case. It was live. In fact, they're taping. They already taped the Battle of the Belt show. There is a Battle of the Belt show tomorrow night on TNT at 8 o'clock. It was being taped tonight. And so they were setting up for that. Before I get into the show, though, do me a favor. Hit that like button. If you are late to the stream, hit that subscribe button because we are very, very close. I haven't checked the number, actually. I wonder how close we are now. To 70,000. We were less than 45 subscribers away from 70K. I wasn't expecting to hit it tonight, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe we can. So anyway, go ahead and do that. But we had Jon Moxley. This was not a championship match. This was a world title eliminator. So if his opponent beat him, he would then get a title shot. His opponent tonight was Mance Warner, who won that awful bunkhouse battle royal on the Ric Flair pay-per-view on Sunday. I thought that match sucked. But this was only his second match ever in AEW. His first match ever in AEW was on Dark Elevation this week. He got into the ring against Serpentico. So Mance Warner is in the ring with Jon Moxley on this show. The most shocking thing about this match, Jon Moxley didn't bleed. I was shocked. I was more shocked about this than seeing Karrion Kross pop up at the end of SmackDown. Jon Moxley didn't bleed. However, Mance Warner did. And when the match was over and Jon Moxley was posing, he had Mance Warner's blood on him. So, technically, he did have blood on him. So, he still got that shot of a bloody Jon Moxley when the match was over. Moxley left the ring and he met Mance in the aisle right from the beginning. So, they went right at it right away. In the ring, Moxley worked over Warner's leg with a figure four. Warner got out of it with an eye poke and the two rolled outside. Mance threw Moxley into the ring steps and then hit a suplex onto a chair and landed a DDT on the ring steps heading into the first break of the night. Back from the commercial, Mance was stomping on Moxley's leg and Moxley flipped him off and Mance went to the outside to grab some chairs. Moxley elbowed one of the chairs into Warner's face and he came up bleeding. Every week, I swear to God, every single show, somebody bleeds. I mean, look, I don't have any issue with using blood, you know, when it's warranted, but every fucking show, every fucking week, it's just, it's like to the point of parody at this point. Do we really need blood in every single match? At what point does it just become like, it's like the dives. You've heard me complain about all the dives and the suicide, you know, the Tope Cone Heroes and all, right? Like, at what point do you just get so numb to it that it just doesn't have any meaning anymore? I feel the same way about all the blood. We get basically no blood in WWE unless it's hard way, pretty much. I mean, there are exceptions. AEW just went to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Can we kind of meet in the middle, maybe? Have a little bit of blood when it's warranted in like a big match or something? Moxley hit a pile driver and choked out Warner to win the match. Moxley gave Warner more than he had to. This guy never appeared in AEW before this week. Some people know who he is. Some people don't. They went in there. They had a very competitive match. It was, I mean, this was right up Moxley's alley. Somebody in the chat said it before, and I agree. It's like they were separated at birth, these two. They really do. They look like they were, they came out of the same womb. Only one has more of an accent than the other. But I have no personal connection to Mance Warner. You know, I've seen his work before, but I'm not, you know, overly familiar with him. I'm not following his work. So I didn't really, when they announced this match, I'm like, eh, whatever. I didn't really care. But they went out there and they had a good match. We had Konosuke Takeshita taking on Ryan Nemeth. Takeshita has never won a match, I don't believe. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But nobody has, I'm trying to think if he's wrestled. No, I can't think of a single time that Takeshita has won a match on TV. I'm sure he's won matches on Dark and Dark Elevation, but I'm pretty sure tonight was his first television win. Takeshita came out hot with a boot and a series of punches. Peter Avalon interfered. Nemeth took control. Takeshita came back very quickly with a blue thunderbomb and then landed a knee strike for the win. This went all of 90 seconds. And so I guess Tony Khan realized, he said, oh shit, we signed this guy to a Ring of Honor world title match against Claudio on Saturday, a battle of the belts. Now might be a good time to give this guy a win on TV. This guy's getting a Ring of Honor world title match. He had never won a match before on television until tonight. And that's only because he's already been announced for the championship match and they felt like they had to give him a win going into the show. But I am looking forward to that match. I cannot complain too much about that because I actually am interested to see these two get in the ring together. So it is ridiculous, though. Former Impact Knockouts champion Madison Rayne. I mentioned her on the Dynamite stream Wednesday. One of many moves that Tony Khan made in terms of promotions, and in her case, she was hired to be a coach for the women's division, and so she's going to wrestle as part of that deal. Tonight was her her AEW in-ring debut, taking on the temporary baddie, the honorary baddie, so long as Red Velvet is out hurt, Layla Gray, who came out to the ring with Stokely Hathaway. Match went about 2 minutes before they cut to a split-screen break. After the break, Rayne got a near fall with a Northern Lights suplex. She went for the ripcord stunner. Layla Gray countered with a side slam for a near fall. Gray tried a sit-out facebuster, but Madison escaped and hit a sliding lariat, and then Rayne hit the cross reins, which is basically her version of the crossroads, for the win. Jade Cargill came out after the match to invite Madison to accept her open challenge on Wednesday for the TBS championship, and so that match is now official for Dynamite. Kiera Hogan tried to run in and attack Rayne from behind, and Madison dropped her with the cross reins as well. This match was very rough in spots. I don't know how long it's been since Madison Rayne has been wrestling full time. I mean, I don't even know how long it's been since Madison Rayne wrestled at all. I can't remember the last time I've seen her in a match. But certainly she has not been performing on a full-time basis. So understandable if she was a little rusty, if you know she hasn't done this in a while. But I don't know. Based on what I saw here, and look, it's not as if Madison Rayne was known as I mean, some Hall of Fame legendary in-ring performer. Let's be honest here. I know she's a former Knockouts champion, Knockouts tag team champion, but it wasn't like she was one of the top women's wrestlers in the world or anything like that. You couple that with the fact that she hasn't been doing this for a while, and I worry about what that match is going to look like on Wednesday. Now, I know they brought her in as a coach. That implies that she has a lot of knowledge that she can pass on to these women and that she can help them and make them better. But I do worry about what kind of match are we going to get between Madison Rayne and Jade Cargill, who is still very green. She is still very green. This could be surprisingly good, or this could be a fucking train wreck on Wednesday. We shall see. Main event on this show was Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland in a Friday night street fight against Tony Nese and Josh Woods, the man who knocked out Keith Lee last week in the back, and a man that we have seen absolutely none of on television. He's been on Dark, but before that, he was not on television at all. And now he is. Not only is he on TV, he's in the main event tonight. This was never announced as a championship match, so I have to assume that the tag team titles were not on the line here, or else they would have mentioned that. So they were going at it outside the ring. They weren't even waiting for the introductions and all of that to play out. Keith Lee got a bucket full of protein powder thrown in his face, and he was blinded. He looked like, Tony Khan on a Friday night. He was out there. He had all that white powder in his face. He's blinded. He can't see. And he got a bottle of water, I think, from a fan in the crowd who gave it to him so he can wash out his eyes. Tony Nese threw a metal toolbox at Keith Lee, which opened up upon impact. And hammers and all these assorted tools fell out of the toolbox. So they went into the final picture-in-picture break of the night. Finally, during the break, the match got into the ring. And we had a pair of tables that were set up on the outside. Woods and Nese, they tried to powerbomb Swerve Strickland through the tables. He escaped. And Keith Lee avalanched the two heels in the corner. What are we up to? 490? 490 likes? We're so close to 500. We can do even better than that, though. We can do at least 550. The number of people we have in here, we should be able to clear 650. So anyway, he avalanched Nese and Woods. Sterling hit Lee with a chair, because smart Mark Sterling was outside the ring. And he caught Keith Lee with a chair from the outside. That didn't faze the big guy. It only pissed him off more. Nese and Woods DDT'd Lee onto the chair, and they both tried to cover him. Swerve came off the top, though, with a 450 onto the pile to break up the pin attempt. Tony Nese set a table up in the ring, and Smart Mark gets into the ring, and he has a wrench in his hand. And he bashes Swerve in the back of the head with the wrench. They lay Swerve across the table that's in the ring, but Keith Lee reaches in, and he pulls Josh Woods out to the floor, and then Lee takes out Tony Nese, and Smart Mark is left in the ring with Swerve, who's laid out on this table. And so Smart Mark says, well, I'll go up to the top row. So he climbs up to the top. He got caught. Swerve got up off the table. Keith Lee was on the apron, and Keith Lee shoved Sterling off. He crashed through the table himself. Keith Lee, this was the crazy spot here. That wasn't even the crazy spot of the match. The crazy spot is what came next. Josh Woods is on the apron with Keith Lee. Now, I mentioned the two tables that were set up outside. Those two tables are set up right below where they are, right at the foot of the aisleway. Josh Woods is trying to give Keith Lee, who is a large man, okay, larger than he was even when he left WWE. He is a 350-pound man, maybe more, but he's a 350-pound human being. He is trying to give Keith Lee a German suplex off the ring apron through the tables, and Lee is holding onto the ropes for dear life. Tony Nese on the inside, though, catches Keith Lee with a super kick. That loosened his grip. And Josh Woods takes this 350-pound man and suplexes him backwards down through both tables. Woods went through the first table. Basically, he, fell down through that. Keith Lee went through the other table. It was a hell of a spot. Very dangerous, but hell of a spot, hell of a visual to see that, that big of a man going backwards through a table on the floor. So that was the crazy spot of the match. And at this point, it was 11:01. And Tony Schiavone was on commentary telling us that TNT is going to let this match go no matter how long it goes. And I'm sitting here going, I got a stream to do. We got to wrap this up, boys. Solomoser has to go live. I have a whole audience I can't disappoint here. And I think they heard me because they went to the finish after this. Swerve backdrop knees high into the air. Not as high as Ricochet got on the back body drop he took from Baron Corbin. But he backdropped him high into the air. He fell all the way down onto a chair. And Swerve came off the top rope with the Swerve Stomp for the win. I thought it was a fun match, you know, as garbage matches go with all the plunder and everything. It was a street fight. I thought this was fun, even if there was absolutely no doubt about who was going to win this match. You know, these live rampages are always more fun than the taped ones. And tonight was no different. I thought overall it was just a mostly fun, you know, quick hour. I still have questions about some of the people that they put on TV without any sort of indication of who they are or, you know, kind of building them up first before they put them in situations where they can challenge for the championship and stuff like that. I think that that's something they need to work on. But I thought it was a mostly fun, easy hour of wrestling. So Battle of the Belts 3 is being taped tonight. It's over by now. But it will air on TNT tomorrow night. We have Claudio defending the Ring of Honor World title against Konosuke Takeshita. Thunder Rosa defends her AEW Women's Championship against Jamie Hayter. And Wardlow will defend his TNT Championship against Jay Lethal. Dynamite next Wednesday is that Quake by the Lake show. We were having some fun on the stream the other night trying to come up with what other names can they give to some of their themed episodes of Dynamite. I forgot. There was one good one that somebody came up with. And I don't... Oh, it was... it was something by the Lagoon. Maybe somebody in the chat remembers. But we have Quake by the Lake on Wednesday. Darby Allin against Brody King in a coffin match. The Lucha Bros take on Andrade and Rush under Tornado Tag Team rules. Jade Cargill defends the TBS Championship against Madison Rayne. And Jon Moxley will put his interim AEW World title on the line against Chris Jericho. So that is going to be a packed card. I will be here to review it live on Wednesday, as I am each and every single week. But we got to check the Twitter polls first. Once that super chat from John Falchetta gets off the screen. Thank you, John. I am going to be reading all of your super chats here in a second. Yes, Doom by the Lagoon. Thank you, Mr. Dynamite. Doom by the Lagoon. And we are approaching 600 likes. That's better. That's better, but that's still not good enough. We got to get that up. SmackDown. 79% thumbs up, 14% thumbs in the middle, and only 6% thumbs down. I could see the Triple H love has affected SmackDown like it affected Raw on Monday night. Could this be the week that SmackDown beats Rampage in the Twitter poll? I don't think that's ever happened before. Let's see. SmackDown got 79%. Rampage has 63%. I believe this is the first time that's ever happened. I believe this is the first time that SmackDown has actually beaten Rampage in the Twitter poll. Rampage 63.5 up, 20% thumbs in the middle. And about 16% thumbs down. You can always vote in these polls and leave some feedback for me at Solomonster. Follow me on there, on Twitter. That's where all the good stuff happens. Good things will happen if you follow the Solomonster on Twitter. I promise you. Hell has frozen over, says Vanilla Gorilla. I'm telling you, I can't remember the last time that's ever happened. Where SmackDown actually beat the AEW show in the Twitter poll. That is a first. That's how you know people are all pumped up about the Triple H era of WWE. You know what? That's right. I think I did see a pig flying outside my window earlier. There was a pig out there. There was a beaver outside my window. Camera was going up and down. All right, let's take a look at your super chats. See what you have to say about all the goings-on tonight. Karrion Kross, Sasha Banks. Favorite color. Fire Panda. Oh, it's good to hear from Fire Panda. I don't think Fire Panda was with us the other night. Darth Panic. Darth Panic says Tony Khan's about to have 3 special announcements next week. He's waiting on Tony Khan to make that announcement that we're going to have 3 major announcements to come. Fire Panda says next Friday shall be my day of vengeance as I come to reclaim my crown of Queen of the Super Chat. Hey, Frank Gonzalez, thank you for the sub. It brings us one step closer to 70K. That's right, Cody. You see Cody? He's telling you, come on. Come on. Let's go. Look at how pumped up Cody is for 70K. He shouldn't be doing that with a torn pec. Fire Panda says, if I cannot reclaim my crown, then I will no longer lay claim to it and retire from the competition. No, you can't retire. I don't want you to retire from the Super Chat. She says, nobody shall stand in my way, not even Solo Monster himself. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on whose DX was better, Shawn Michaels or Triple H? I enjoyed the Triple H version in 98 when Shawn went away and Triple H took over and it was him and X-Pac and China and the Outlaws. That's my preferred version. Lakers Pats, Dominic Mysterio, more like Sub Mysterio. Do you get... That's a lame joke. But thank you, Lakers Pats. Joshua Edwards, awesome return of Kross. Much better. Much better than the last debut that he had on TV. Shin Akuma. The thumbnail message ruined the Karrion Kross surprise. Damn you, Solo Monster. LOL. I'm mad at you. No more donations tonight. Just kidding. You're the man. Thank you, Shin Akuma. As soon as it happened, I'm telling you, as soon as it happens, it is no longer a spy. I always tell people, occasionally I'll get the person who complains and says, oh, you know, I saw the headline of the video and you spoiled it for me. And I tell them all the time, I go, once it happens on TV, it is no longer a spoiler. It's different with New Japan and G1 and that kind of stuff because there's a time zone difference there. And so I know some people don't, you know, I won't tweet anything about the G1 if something big happens or there's a title change or something because some people won't watch it until the next day. That's different. But like SmackDown, Rampage, Dynamite, once it happens, it's fair game. You don't like it, don't go online. I don't know what to tell you. We've got Shin Akuma who says, would Tajiri and Asuka make a great mixed tag? Sure. Food Hive, damn, he made that Karrion Kross graphic fast as fuck. Hey, me and Steve, man, we're a great team. As soon as I saw that, we already had, it was already a work in progress. He's good. He's good. He knows what he's doing. Scott Woodford, Karrion Kross, TikTok, Mr. Reigns, yes, please. Cam, live heel turn incoming. Love it. Samoan Fan 101 with the $5 super chat. I would like to see the WrestleMania 10 scenario repeating itself. Kross can go for the WWE title while Drew goes for the Universal title. Okay, so we were talking before about ways to split the title, and I mentioned doing a triple threat. I mentioned King of the Ring. There's another idea. What if you went with a WrestleMania 10 type scenario? Could the plan be... Plan B. Could the plan be for Karrion Kross to not be on SmackDown? Could the plan be for him to end up on Monday Night Raw and take the WWE title to Raw? Food for thought. It's very possible. Elijah Ricard. Karrion effing Kross literally shot me up out of my chair. So excited for what's next in WWE. Stopped watching for 3 years and kept up with your reviews, but the Triple H news has me hoping for change. Armand with the sub. Let's go. Look at Cody. Come on. Cody's all amped up. Tariq Mason, $5 super chat. Hey, Matt Nielsen, thank you for the sub. Tariq says, if it ends up Ronda versus Becky at WrestleMania 39, do you think the match would be big enough not to involve the Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship? I mean, it would be a big match either way, but I would think you want a championship involved. So I would say you should probably have one of the titles involved. Because look, you have two women's titles. If Becky and Ronda is going to be one of your feature matches at WrestleMania, how are you going to have two women's championship matches and not have either of these women holding the title? You're already demoting both of your women's title matches below those two women. You've got two titles. One of them has to be contested for in that match. Otherwise, I think you're doing a disservice to both of your championships. That wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense. Chauncey Curry, Liv Morgan is mid. Deal with it. But at least the GOAT, Sasha Banks, will return Monday for the tournament. Rodimus Prime, with Karrion Kross and Scarlett back in WWE. I love it. I am here for it. We've got Josiah Ball, again with the ball. $5 super chat. How do you think Cody Rhodes will be booked under Triple H? I think Triple H is smart enough to see a good story when it stares him in the face. And I think Cody is going to be just fine. I don't think it's a case where Cody is going to be demoted down the card. I think when Cody comes back, if he's able to make it back in time for the Royal Rumble, Cody is going to win the Royal Rumble. And he is ultimately going to be the WWE champion. I don't think Triple H taking over from Vince McMahon does anything to change that. Quintus Brown, both shows were good tonight. Now, I don't think that Drew is walking out of Clash at the Castle as the champion. I guess Cross is out for the Hog Show. Karrion Kross is supposed to wrestle low-key at our next House of Glory show on August 28th, High Intensity, which is, by the way, fucking unbelievable card. I mean, it's a huge card. And, he was supposed to wrestle low-key on the show. I would not assume anything. I would not make any assumptions about whether or not that match is happening or not. That's all I will say. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I'm so happy that Cross is back. I thought he was with MLW, but I guess not. Also, I haven't heard this question asked, but would it be fair to assume Triple H looks at Cody the same way that Vince did? Yes. As I just said, I think Cody is going to be just fine. Steven Henderson with the $19.99 super chat. No message, just dropping some love. Holy shit. Steven, thank you. Groovy Goose with the $1.99. I am excited for WWE. I have not said that in years. Food Hive, see, I am not an AEW shill. I am enjoying the new WWE. Rojo Bear, one of our channel members, says he is caving in and watching Monday Night Raw for the first time in 2 years next week. Well, you should watch Raw, because when Raw is over, you can come back here to the channel and I'm going to be live. I'm going to be covering Raw again this Monday. So now you have a place to come as soon as Raw goes off the air. Whatever happens with this women's tag team stuff, and if Sasha and Naomi happen to show up, and whatever happens, we'll be talking about it live on Monday. The Cheeseburger, 666, $10 super chat. Now that Triple H is in charge of creative, will WWE introduce brand new championship and universal belts? I feel the current lame ones have overstayed its welcome. I do believe that when they split the titles, I would like to see the universal title get an overhaul, like a completely new design, and I would like to see the WWE title also get a total overhaul. I hate the logo belts, but I think they're in love with them. I know why they do them. They send them out everywhere. You always see them at the parades after a sports team wins, you know. And there's that big WWE logo. So, unfortunately, no. I would do it, absolutely. I would absolutely overhaul both belts, but they love the logo belts, and I don't see that changing. Brandon Walker with the $10. Does Charlotte return as a face since Ronda turned heel? I don't think Ronda has turned heel. After what we saw tonight, I don't think so. So I would not be so quick to assume that that's happened. Tomas in the chat, I did see your messages earlier about RSPW Rewind. I am not ignoring you, but I am a one-man show. I have a lot of things coming at me here. We are live. We are live, pal. RSPW Rewind is not dead. There will be a new installment. I had to slow down the pace of them because there's only so many old posts that are still accessible that I haven't already gone through. And so I had to take a break with it. Otherwise, I would have just gone through everything that I had. So I still have a whole document with links to the old posts that I have not used. It will come back. In fact, I think the next edition is going to be centered around our old pal Goldberg, because I did find this whole trove of Goldberg-related posts from 25 years ago that I think might be of interest to people. So I can't say exactly when, but yes, RSPW Rewind will be back. And if you are not familiar with RSPW Rewind, if you're new here, there is a playlist. I put together a whole playlist on this channel in the playlist section. You go in there and it'll give you a good primer of exactly what it is. Joseph Brooks, this is a long shot, but could you see EC3 back? No. He is controlling his narrative. EC3 is controlling his narrative. I don't think he's going to be back in WWE anytime soon. We've got Sosa Man, OTF, with the $1.99. Bring back Enzo. We need more charisma on TV. I'm surprised they haven't brought back Big Cass yet. I thought he'd be back already. After he made that one appearance on Dynamite, I thought WWE would snatch him right up. He was a Triple H guy. He was a guy that Triple H pushed. Keep your eye on him. He's another one I could see back in WWE soon. Spicy Dry Chicken, I want to say this about WWE. Praise the Lord that Triple H is in charge. No more bad booking. I wouldn't go that far. Triple H is not infallible. Look, I'm excited, you're excited, but there will be bad booking at some point. Let's not assume that everything he does is going to turn to gold. Yeah, Nier, you know, it's interesting. Nier mentions that he thought maybe Cross would come back and be part of the Judgment Day. Yeah, they could have gone that way with it, and maybe that would have given the group a better chance of succeeding. But I feel like his return is bigger than the Judgment Day. He doesn't need the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day needs him. He doesn't need the Judgment Day. And Spicy Dry Chicken also says, great balls of fire. You just wanted to say balls, just to piss me off, right? Samoan Fan 101, Happy Corbin looks like a low-rent Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross has hair now. So Happy Corbin no longer has the skullet that he had on his head. John Anton with the $9.99. Thank you, John. Did you ever see American History X? If so, did you enjoy the film? I did not see the entire movie, but I am very familiar with the final scene. I am very familiar with the curb stomp. It must have been maybe a YouTube clip of the ending that I saw, but I actually never saw the entire movie. Joseph Brooks, with Triple H in charge, could you see him maybe possibly working with a company like GCW, kind of like how they were working with ECW in 96. No. Not with GCW. Rooster Loving Man, who among us would not love to show some love to roosters, I guess. I hope on Monday we get Gargano and Candice reuniting the way. Candice and Indy would be a good team for the tournament, exactly what I said before. And Gargano can fill in the mentor role for Theory. See, the thing about that I don't like is that when Gargano and Theory were together in NXT, Theory was booked like a goof. On the main roster, he's a lot more serious in his presentation. He's not there for the jokes. He's not there to be the guy who's kind of out to lunch. So I don't know that that would really work. And, you know, to me, it would almost be going backwards for them. Gargano should be a babyface. I would not debut him as a heel. So I wouldn't do that. I would very much be in favor of Gargano debuting and coming to the aid of Tommaso Ciampa when he loses to Bobby Lashley and possibly gets, you know, turned on or attacked by The Miz. Gargano debuts in his hometown, gets a big pop, comes to the aid of his old friend Ciampa, and now you've got DIY reunited. I think putting them back in a tag team for a while before they branch out as singles could be a big boost for the tag team division. So that's why I like the idea of having him come back, not just because, you know, it's his hometown on Monday. It's just the timing is so perfect. And DIY would give that tag team division a shot in the arm that it just so desperately needs. I mean, imagine if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if what I pitched earlier is actually what ends up happening, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn go on to beat the Usos and win the tag team titles, we could end up with Sami and KO defending the titles against Gargano and Ciampa. Just think of the matches that we could have, and not even the matches, but, you know, the character stuff as well, to work a whole storyline around it. But the matches that those two teams could have would be incredible. I'm very, very high on the idea of reuniting DIY. I mean, look, they debuted Ciampa as a lackey for The Miz, right? I mean, I know he's doing singles matches now, but he debuted as the second, basically, the manager, the bodyguard for The Miz. Putting him back together with Gargano and a tag team is far from the worst thing that they could possibly do with him. Chris Strickland, thank you for the sub. I appreciate that. Hyru with the $5. Between Cole destroying Cross on the mic in NXT and McIntyre doing the same with a tweet. I did not see the tweet. Did he tweet? What did he tweet? I did not see the tweet that Drew McIntyre put out. He says, it's going to take some time for me to take Cross seriously. I did not see that. I did not see the Drew McIntyre tweet. I was so busy watching and taking my notes on Rampage that I did not see the tweet. So somebody in the chat can fill me in. Spicy Dried Chicken, I also want to say this about AEW. I am glad that Jonathan Gresham cussed Tony Khan out. AEW needed a big wake-up call. Communicate with talent better. They took steps this week to try to address that with their talent relations department. And I totally understand the frustration that Gresham had. But I also think on the flip side of that, not very bright for him to cuss out the person who runs not only the second biggest company in the country, but also runs Ring of Honor. Tony Khan is not just the boss in Ring of Honor, he's the boss in AEW as well. He runs two companies, technically. Probably not the smartest move on his part. Although I do understand his frustration. Now, so McIntyre made fun of his old... but that's low-hanging fruit. I mean, everybody made fun of Karrion Kross's old entrance attire. Alex Ollie with the $2. Triple H pulled Cross away from Low Key and House of Glory. Yeah, I don't have the official word on that though. But look, it's not impossible to think that, you know, maybe he could still fulfill the booking. I don't know what the status of that is, because I was not expecting him to be back on TV this year. So, oh look, I was looking forward to that actually. If you didn't see it, there was this great video. And it would be a shame, actually, if the match doesn't happen now because of this. They put together this great video, like, vignette to hype up the match with Killer Cross and Low Key. That was actually really well done. House of Glory, and I don't just say this because I do commentary for the promotion, but, you know, lots of independent promotions, I'm sure, do a fine job of promoting their cards. House of Glory has taken it to another level. If you look at the graphics and you look at some of the videos and the vignettes, House of Glory has been fucking killing it. And they put together this great one with Cross and Low Key. So I'm actually going to be very upset now if we don't get to see that match. If I don't get to call that match, I'm going to be very upset. Food Hive with the $9.99. Sammy's Arch. WrestleMania, Cody against Roman. Usos interfere in the match, but Sammy comes in for the save, hitting Roman with the belt for Cody a la Kurt Angle to Stone Cold. Even though I like your payoff more. They could certainly go that way too, and have Sami Zayn be the one who ultimately costs Roman Reigns the championship. I could definitely see that. Roman won't even give this guy the time of day. He can't even get a meeting with him. Imagine if Sami is the one who costs Roman Reigns after 700 some odd days or 800 days. Imagine if he's the one who ultimately costs Roman the championship. But I do like my idea better, though. I like the idea that Sami just has enough. And he wants to challenge the Usos for their belts, and he recruits Kevin Owens to be his partner. Dr. Scorpio, what if Sasha and Naomi came back as heels or face, hijack the tournament finals, and take the tag titles that they never lost? Yeah, why not? Like the outsiders coming back in, right? They could even pretend like they're not under contract. You could work a whole angle around it where they're not even supposed to be here. Sasha Banks can show up on TV with a toothpick in her mouth and she could say, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Winter's Paw. Everyone talking about what Rhea did to Dominic on Monday. Meanwhile, here I am still thinking about Brooks Jensen in those shorts on Tuesday. Brooks Jensen, he's such a geek on that show. I just can't buy him in that. I call them Discount APA when they first put Briggs and Jensen together, and I still look at them as Discount APA. You like that, right? Sasha showing up with the toothpick. You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. You want a war? You want a war? You got one. Hey, yo. The only thing is, who's the third woman? They need a third woman. And Bailey's already got her own group, so it can't be her. Who's the third woman? Maybe it's Paige. Maybe Paige comes back. Carnage Rage. Does this mean Cross has two contracts, one with MLW and the other with WWE? I don't know the details of his deal, but I can almost guarantee you that is not something I can see WWE allowing. Spicy Dry Chicken. In my opinion, Tony Khan should personally reach out to Big Swole. I don't know what you said there. I think you had a stroke in the middle of writing that sentence. Samoan Fan 101. How long until titles are called belts again? Hopefully not very long. Shouldn't be too long. Sasha, Naomi, and Cameron. No, that is a fail. That is a fail. Dr. Scorpio. Drew with that gimmick infringement. Winter's Paw. I think Santino should have broken the Intercontinental title record. Winter's Paw says, in the Plan B video, Bob Roop said that they were going to do a subject on the impact of gays on the wrestling business. Do you know what he meant by that? Do you think we'll finally get a serious LGBT story in WWE? I don't, to answer your second question first. And I assume what Roop meant in that video, and if you don't know what he's talking about, there was this secret video that a bunch of wrestlers, including some name guys, got together and filmed. This is back in 1979. I have a whole clip on the YouTube channel from, I think, a week or two ago. It's pretty fascinating stuff. The video never got out. It was Plan B. So they were trying to squeeze one of the promoters. There was a territorial war going on. And if they lost the war, the plan was to put this tape out and basically just nuke everything and expose the business and talk about all the tricks of the wrestling business. The video was recorded. It leaked on YouTube early 2000s, I think. Mid-2000s. Well, YouTube wasn't even around until 2005. But the video surfaced online about 10 or 15 years ago. Probably about 15 years ago. So imagine if that video had gotten out back in 1979. So anyway, Bob Roop is the one who kind of hosted the video. He was a wrestler back in the day. I assume what he meant by that was just kind of, exposing who the gay wrestlers were at the time. I don't know. Yeah, you probably have to ask him what he meant by that. David Hart with the $9.99. Surprise, you didn't mention it, but Pat said the word wrestle after the Viking Raiders squash and put an emphasis on wrestle. You know, I did notice that, but we've heard the word wrestling and wrestler mentioned on the show enough times that to me that's not too shocking. If we start hearing belt and hospital and stuff, that to me is more jarring just because it just hasn't been allowed. We do hear the word wrestling and wrestler occasionally. It's not like it's never mentioned. Cody may be the one who comes back and says belt when he comes back. John Falchetta. Can you see Triple H bringing Fabian Aichner up and doing a full Imperium reunion on SmackDown? They desperately need them as a tag team. It's why I thought that it seemed to make sense to me that you would call Imperium up as a faction, because then you get Aichner and Bartel as a team. Again, they need teams. So yes, I agree. I mean, he's doing his own gimmick now on NXT, but if it were up to me, I would reunite Imperium. You bring them up, now you have the Usos, you have the New Day, you have Imperium, you have maybe DIY, maybe KO and Sammy. It doesn't take that much effort. You make a few moves like the ones I just named, and you have yourself a fucking rock-solid tag team division in WWE. Boots, thank you for the $2. Send the Instapoll to Triple H. Yeah, I may have to tag Triple H in those Twitter poll results. Quintus Brown, Rampage is way better live. I know it's expensive to run two buildings a week. Hopefully, when AEW gets their next TV contract, the money will be able to make that happen. A new time slot and day. Well, that's kind of the issue. What kind of money are they going to get? With all the bloodletting that's going on at Warner Discovery right now, unless they go somewhere else, they're not going to get the kind of exposure they'll get being on TNT and TBS if they leave. I wouldn't be so sure they're going to get more money than what they're already getting. So. Darth Panic. I think Sasha has hit the glass ceiling in WWE. Would like to see her branch out and wrestle other women. I can see her becoming a belt collector. Simi Valley, with the return of Karrion Kross, do you see others returning to the company? I personally hope Bray Wyatt will be back. I do think that we will see others return to the company, yes. And I think that if and when Bray comes back, it will be to WWE. It will not be to AEW. Johnny A, with the $20 super chat, I tweeted you the C2E2 pics of Punk and Foley, Trish, Lita. Having a good time, but would not be a complete Friday night without some Sala Monster. You should do a convention tour. Great show, as always. I did see those photos. Very cool photos. So thank you for sharing that with me. Don Juan. Holy emoji. What is this? Fire Panda thinks he's going to get her crown back. Let's all laugh at Fire of Pandas. Fire Panda. Says Solomonster, I won't retire from Super Chats, but as for the last word competition, I shall retire from it if I cannot reclaim my crown. Ace Shock in the chat wants to know, what does Warner Brothers Discovery even want? They are looking to shed at least $4 billion from their books, possibly as much as $5 billion. That's how much in cuts they want to make. So that is going to affect a lot of people. That's going to affect a lot of departments. And that is going to affect the amount of money that Tony Khan can expect to get when they negotiate their next TV contract. That's the concern. The concern isn't so much, whoa, my God, what if they don't get, you know, another deal? They'll get a deal, but how much money are they going to get in that deal? That's the question. We'll see. There's still time. There's still time before that contract negotiation period comes up. Thomas Rondon with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Thomas. Thought it was Edge at first. I'm still in shock that Cross and Scarlett are back, but I am not surprised. Fire Panda says, Don Juan, you may have been great one night, but I am great every night. You got lucky once, but never again. Boy, Fire Panda was very upset when Don Juan got the last word on that super chat last week. I mean, you talk about last minute. It came in last minute. Dr. Scorpio, Cross versus Low-Key and Hog. Triple H said that won't work for me, brother. Come back to WWE. Yeah, maybe Triple H, he just didn't want the Low-Key match to happen. So we said, we got to make a deal happen. We have got to make a deal happen. Yeah, Jay William, they announced back in March that the plan was to merge HBO Max and Discovery. I know they made it official this week, but we knew that back in March. There were stories about that back in March. We still don't know what they're going to call it, though. They did not announce this week what the new name is going to be. The belief is that HBO Max is going to be no more, and they're just going to call it Discovery Plus. See, if it were me, I'd go the other way. I think HBO Max is more brand recognition that way. I think you go with that name, but that's ultimately going to be up to... I mean, it's the Discovery folks who are running this thing now, so I would imagine they'll want to keep the Discovery name. Lord Frieza with the $9.99. Lord Frieza dropped a question in that members-only chat the other day. Watch Raw and SmackDown after 8 years. I would listen to you, but wow, he did not watch Raw or SmackDown for 8 years. That's crazy. And honestly, he says, this SmackDown episode was great. Love Karrion Kross coming back. Shout out to you, Solid Monster, for your work. Thank you, Lord Frieza. And Jay Williams says, my wife says that she loves her some Solid Monster. Read that part. Oh, I'll read that part. I have no problem reading that. That's the kind of message I like to hear. Vanilla Gorilla was at Rampage in Battle of the Belts tonight. Awesome show live. Thank you for your hard work. The Reed Report with the $4.99. You think that they're adding Cross to the match as a way to get one of the belts off Roman. Yeah, I talked about that earlier. I think that it's possible, and I did pitch the idea of a WrestleMania 2000 type scenario. I just don't know. I mean, if they want to really inject him into that match. I mean, all the teasing has been for Roman and Drew one-on-one. And now, would they throw Cross in there and make it a three-way? I don't know. It's Triple H. So, we're in a whole different era now. And Cross is a Triple H guy. If he wants him in the main event, then yes. They'll add him in there and make it a triple threat. And if they want to split the belts, that's one way of doing it. One fall for the WWE title, one fall for the Universal title. Tech Nation with the $5 was at the show. We got Madcap Moss defeating Ridge Holland before the show. After the show, we got Lashley defeating Ciampa for the title. Prelude to what we are going to see, no doubt, on Monday night. Bob the Builder, check Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter. Well, he sent that 19 minutes ago. Is there a reason why I should be checking Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter? Dr. Scorpio with the $1.55. The third woman is Brandi Rhodes. Oh, no. I forgot about Brandi. Brandi wants to wrestle. Brandi Rhodes says she's not done wrestling yet. Don Juan says, cry more, Fire Panda. Spicy Dry Chicken. I mentioned Tony Khan and Big Swole to settle things out. Says, I meant Tony Khan and Big Swole to settle things. Oh, he sent that twice. No, I know what you meant, but that last sentence, the way you phrased it, it didn't make any sense. Josiah, Solid Monster, can scripted promos be over under triple? See, that was confusing. It says over under. Yes, and I think we are already starting to see that. We are already hearing reports that the talent are being given a little more latitude in terms of promos, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing. And the people who are not, you know, used to going out there and kind of winging it and coming up with their own verbiage, the only way you're ever going to get better at it is by being allowed to go out there and do it. So many people, I'm sure, came through the Performance Center, and it's the only way they know. They're handed something, they have to memorize it. It's like being an actor. You have to memorize your lines, and they don't necessarily have the ability to go out there and ad lib. And I think that that's a lost art in pro wrestling, and you could always tell. The ones who are really good at it, you could just tell by listening to them and watching them on TV. I think the more that we start to see the handcuffs being loosened and the handcuffs coming off is absolutely a positive thing. Do I think that we will see that under Triple H? I am hopeful that we will. Yes. Near, we have a situation here with Gaza. Hope things will cool down soon. I am praying for kids for my little two girls. Yes, we will always hope for the best. It's always a very dangerous situation over there. I don't think that unfortunately, I don't think it will ever be settled, but hopefully you and your family are safe. Fire Panda, if it needs to happen, then I shall wrestle Don Juan and beat that mark with the dangerous low blow and roll-up combo for the win. He's going to get schoolboyed. And last but not least, we got Liquid Sharingan with the $10 Super Chat. I will try a Raw or SmackDown in about 3 to 6 months. But right now, I am cautiously optimistic and hope good things continue to happen in WWE. Competition breeds innovation. That is a very smart statement from Liquid Sharingan. Competition breeds innovation. Competition is good for everybody. It is good for the talent. It is good for the fans. The more competition, the better. You can have competition even within WWE. If Raw and SmackDown were actually treated autonomously, you could have had legitimate competition between the two brands. Right now, it's just storyline. That's how they tried to run the brand split when they first started it all those years ago. Jay Culler, what's going on, Jay Culler? $5 Super Chat. Did I win Final Word? Slipping between Fire Panda and Don Juan at the end of the show like Karrion Kross. Well, we're not done yet, so no. But I appreciate the support. Mechan-headed freak. Will Rick O'Shea get out of the Losers Club now? Well, he won tonight, so probably. I think it bodes pretty well for him. He'll have a better shot now than he would have before. I think we all knew that Intercontinental push was not going to last. It was all just to set up Gunther. And I'm all for pushing Walter. But I think we knew that wasn't going to last. We are up above 600 likes, which is very, very cool. Although we had a lot of people. We had like 2,000 people in here before. And we still have well over 1,400. So let's see if we can get that up even more. Before we get out of here, we're not done yet. Let's see if we can get that up even more. I do have to check. Somebody told me to check Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter before, so I will do that very quickly here. Just to see if there was anything of interest that he posted that I may have missed. See, I'm in my own little zone when I'm getting ready for the streams. All right, so the only thing I see here, I don't see, the story isn't here, but I see that he says, we've heard of a major pitch for the WWE top title scene. And that story is coming to Fightful Select. He posted that about an hour ago. So apparently there is some kind of an update on the championship situation. It could tie into what we've been talking about here throughout the stream tonight. We'll get the news a little bit later when I'm done here. I don't want to start fishing around for it now, but things are going to get very interesting. Things are definitely going to get very interesting as far as the title picture is concerned. So I just checked really quick, and we are 5 subscribers away from 70,000. We are five away. So it is possible that before we are done here, we could hit 70K, which I was not expecting to happen tonight, but it could happen. I'm very excited about that. I am very excited about that. Don Juan says, you want to wrestle me? I am so scared. Don Juan and Fire Panda still going back and forth. The Reed Report, since we are talking about the last time we watched wrestling, I watched a full episode of Raw this week for the first time since Roman versus Brock in 2018. Well, was that the WrestleMania match or was that the cage match that they had in Saudi Arabia? But that's 4 years. That's over 4 years, 4.5 years. I'm telling you, I just get messages all the time from people in the last few weeks. I haven't watched WWE in 5 years. I haven't watched WWE in 8 years, in 2 years. You know, they watch the streams, but they don't actually watch the product. And they're giving it another shot. They're coming. Look, Raw did 2.2 million viewers on Monday. Now, part of that was curiosity coming out of SummerSlam. And they're not going to do that every week. But clearly, there is a renewed interest in the WWE product. I can't remember the last time Raw was over 2 million, let alone 2.2. That's for these days on Raw, that's a huge number. And if they are able to sustain that kind of ratings growth, they better enjoy it while it lasts because the NFL is breathing down their neck. Football season's almost here. We're only about a month away from tip-off or kickoff. Tip-off, kickoff. Whatever the expression is. The Reed Report says, I meant Roman versus Lashley. Oh, so he was talking about a completely different match. Roman versus... Well, when was Roman and Lashley? Was that 2018? I don't remember what pay-per-view that would have been. Oh, wait a minute. Is it official? Fire Panda just broke the news in the chat. I'm checking to see. Indeed, it has happened tonight. We have officially hit 70,000 subscribers on the channel. We are dropping confetti. We're popping bottles here for the sound off. We have broken 70,000 subscribers on YouTube, and we did it live on the air. You know, I was hoping that it would happen while I was live and not like in the middle of the night or something or in the middle of the day. That's fucking great. I love it. I love that I was able to do it while I was live with all of you. Oh, man. Where was I? We have more Super Chats here coming in. Do not pass go. Congrats on 70K. Let's celebrate with a bowl of Magic Spoon. That's a great way to celebrate. Liquid Sharingan. Grats on 70K. Time to reach for 100. Yeah, that might take a little bit longer. Rizzo with the 10 bucks. I'm a WWE shareholder. And their stock price continues to go up. Congrats on 70K. Yeah, the silver play button, when you hit 100,000 subs, they mail you it's like a plaque. It's like a silver play button. But that's 100K. That's still a ways off. That is still a ways off. Dr. Scorpio, imagine you just ended the stream and you hit 70. I'm glad I did it before I ended the stream so that I can thank all of you. K-Dog's Kennel with the $5. Congratulations. 70,000 subs is not easy. No one deserves it more than you. Are awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The Reed Report. Roman wrestled Lashley at Extreme Rules in 2018 and 2 weeks later for the right to challenge Brock at SummerSlam. Great show and congrats on 70K. Robert Kaplinger, congrats on 70K. You are so strong. Thank you, Robert. Nier, thank you very much. Is it too soon for Cross against Gunther? Yes, he just came back tonight. I would not throw him to the wolves just yet. The guy just came back. We've got to let it breathe. Will I also get a cake if I hit 100K? I hope so. Nobody has told me. I don't know what kind of cake it would be. I'd rather just have some money or something. Ditch all the other stuff. Just give me like a nice little bonus check or something that I could reinvest back into the show. Fire Panda, comedic genius, broke the news in the chat. Give him credit. Okay, thank you to comedic genius. Well, I didn't see that. I only saw the super chat come in first. So, thank you to comedic genius. Spicy Dry Chicken, congrats on 70K. Bring out the beer. The beer is not here. The beer is... this is not beer, but I'll drink to that. The beer is downstairs. The beer is not here right now. All right, I will get to more of these super chats in a second, but you know we have to do this. I mean, we just hit 70K. So you know that we have to go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Be the booker. Do you realize? I didn't know this until earlier. Somebody asked me about this. So I went back and I checked. The first time that I did Be the Booker was in September of 2020. There was a NXT Super Tuesday episode. It had Adam Cole against Finn Balor in the main event. I don't know if it opened the show or not, but they wrestled for the NXT Championship. Actually, they might have opened the show. And so we're coming up on the two-year anniversary next month. I think it's actually a month from today. The two-year anniversary of Be the Booker. That's how long I've been doing this for. But the new version of Be the Booker... I created this. Of course, we started with that GIF from Zinfamous HD on Twitter. Shout out to Zinfamous. He kind of helped get the ball rolling on this. But Be the Booker has turned into a favorite segment I know for many of you. So let's get into this thing here. We will begin with the men's Be the Booker, and we begin with, oh my goodness. That is not how I wanted to start the first Be the Booker on my 70,000 celebration here. The Great Khali. What's so great about him? Oh, man. The Great Khali is going to go one-on-one with Butterbean. Well, I've already given the buzzer. I'm not doing it again. Great Khali and Butterbean, that's like one of those freak show fights that you would see on one of those old Pride shows. That is a freak show battle. Who would win that match, by the way? Great Khali or Butterbean? Great Khali is a large man. On the women's side, we begin with Peyton Royce. I was going to say her real name, since that's what she's going by these days. But that is Peyton Royce. Congrats, by the way. Congrats to Peyton Royce and Sean Spears. They are expecting a child. I saw them make the announcement on Instagram the other day where all of the major announcements are broken. So she will be stepping in. Well, she won't be stepping into the ring. She is not medically cleared. So actually, we're going to disregard her. She is not medically cleared to compete, so we're going to pick somebody else. We begin with the lovely Stacy Keibler. And Stacy Keibler is going to go one-on-one with Santina Marella. This is not going well. I am not very good at this booking thing, am I? Try the tag teams. We begin with the Holly Cousins, Hardcore and Crash, the super heavyweights. That was a fun gimmick. Got the Holly Cousins stepping into the ring to take on Brett and Owen Hart. Finally, I won one. I knew I had to win one. That'd be a pretty good match, actually. Bret and Owen Hart against Hardcore and Crash. Crash was very underrated for the talent that he had. It's a shame that things ended as poorly for him as they did. Passed away, God, what was it, 2003, right? I think it was 2003 when he passed away. It's almost 20 years. It's hard to believe. Oh, we got a whole bunch of super chats here left to go through before we wrap it up. So let me make sure I don't miss anybody here. Oh, Bret Hart, our good old friend Bret Hart. Actually, that's funny. There was a photo. I think Bret posted it, didn't he, on his Twitter or his Instagram? I think he was getting coffee, and they wrote his name on the cup, and it said Bred, B-R-E-D, and I thought of you. I thought of Bret Hart. Congrats on 70K. I have not watched Raw or SmackDown since early 2018 when I was a wrestling journalist and I was forced to watch it. Wow. Manuel, remember Corbin used to always wrestle in slacks. Yes, I do. I do remember that. I remember Constable Corbin. Julo with the $5 super chat. First super chat ever. Figured you hitting 70K is the perfect time to make it. You are the best ever. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you. Thank you, Julo. I appreciate that. The Yatagaratsu with the $6 super chat. Congrats on 70K to 100K. Now begins the journey to 100. Indeed. Fallout X1. Has any wrestling angle ever made you cry? My sister cried. There's been more than a few WWE angles that have made me cry, not tears of joy. It says, my sister cried when the NWO hit the ambulance with The Rock inside of it. Congrats, by the way. I am man enough to admit that the post-match angle of WrestleMania 7 with Macho Man reuniting with Elizabeth brought a tear to my eye. I am secure enough with myself to sit here and admit that to all of you. There's nothing wrong with that. I get emotional when I go back, even now when I go back and I watch that angle. That's why I will never do a watch along for it on the YouTube channel, because I get very emotional when I watch that back, especially knowing that they're both, you know, they both passed away. Actually, everybody in that match, Warrior, Savage, Elizabeth, Sherry. They're all gone. Hebner's the only one who's still here. Fire Panda, who's the guy that says it is now time to be the booker? That is my boy Noah Mark, who, if you are a longtime listener of the podcast, you are very familiar with Noah. I've had him on the show before. We used to do wrestling roundtables when I would be in whatever city WrestleMania was in. Occasionally, we'd get together, me and a couple of buddies, him and Brian Blade. We would do shows together, so... Noah has been a longtime friend, and he's a talented audiophile, and he is the voice that you hear in that soundbite. Solomonster cries off. Well, yeah, of course. Okay, so he mentions Eddie. Now, look, there are people who have passed away. When they put together the videos, like when Eddie Guerrero passed away and they added to the Johnny Cash song, Hurt, of course I cried. Anytime I listen to that Johnny Cash cover, by the way, I think even Trent Reznor said after he heard it, when he heard Johnny Cash cover the song, he told him, like, it's your song now. How can you listen to that song and not get emotional? So when they played that song to the video of Eddie after he passed away, I was fucking bawling, you know? When certain people have passed away and they have the 10-bell salute or whatever, I mean, certain people, you know, it gets to you. But he was talking wrestling angles, so I don't count that. If we're just talking wrestling angles, that's, you know, the WrestleMania 7 one would be mine. Darth Panic says he got very emotional when Kofi won the title. Yeah, I did too. I was in the building for that. I did too. Everybody around me was very emotional. Skywalker, will you quit your day job and dedicate your time to YouTube once you get to 100K subs? I think that might happen well before I get to 100K. John Falchetta, Roop was aiming the gay line at Jim Barnett, the promoter, in an attempt to extort money from him. Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds like something Bob Roop would have done, based on everything I've read about him. That sounds about right. Dr. Scorpio, Brett runs in to save Solid Monster for 70K. I could always rely on the hitman to save my ass there at the very end. Dr. Scorpio, Brett runs... Oh, I just said that. Winter's Paw, congrats on 70K. Thanks for being a great ally. GCC305, Eddie Guerrero winning the WWE Championship and the Golden Lovers reuniting in 2018 has made me shed a few tears, and I have no shame in saying that. Congrats on 70K. And Manuel with the 499. Is Cody going to win the world title when he is back? I don't think he's a Triple H guy. Does Roman lose a title to Drew, do you think? If not, when? Well, when I'm done here, I will see what the news is about this world title pitch that's been made. Apparently, it has to do with possibly making the match a Clash of the Castle a triple threat as a way to get the belts separated. And I've been saying, the belts will be separated at some point before Survivor Series. Triple threat is one way to do that. One fall for one title, one fall for another. Roman drops one of the titles. If they do that, it's hard for me to envision him losing both. That could be their way around taking both belts off Roman. You get one off of him, he gets to keep the other. I do think Cody is going to win the title when he gets back, yes. Hunter Peckham says Scarlett plus TV14. The Michael Cole voice, oh my. Did you see Scarlett at the Ric Flair pay-per-view when she came out with Cross? She was looking like something else. Only see her in the artwork tonight. Fire Panda says, funniest post that you've seen on RSPW. Oh, there's been a whole bunch of them. I think there was one. There's been so many of them. But I think there was one that was trying to argue why WWE sucks because they save all the good matches for the pay-per-views. And this person said, I can't afford the pay-per-views. You know, how dare they? Why are they not putting them on TV? You know, as if WWE shouldn't be allowed to run their business and build to pay-per-view so people will spend money on the pay-per-views. It was some ridiculous rant this person went on, but I mean, that's not even the funniest thing I saw. And again, for people who don't know about RSPW, it was basically social media before social media. They had these message boards on the internet with wrestling fans complaining about pretty much everything. And this is back in the early 1990s, mid-1990s, late 1990s. There are ways to still access some of those posts. Unfortunately, they're not all accessible anymore. And over the years, I have dug up a whole bunch of them, and I have done these segments where we go back, and it's just my way of proving for all the people who say that, oh, wrestling was so much better before social media, nobody complained, everybody just enjoyed it for what it is. It is demonstrably false. All the things people complain about now, they were complaining about back then, but it was a much smaller audience online. And so that was the whole intent of the segment when I started it, was to demonstrate that people have been bitching about wrestling and Meltzer and all of these things going back to the 90s. Although I think RSPW actually was born in 1989, but I haven't been able to find any posts from 89. I would love to see those posts from 1989, but I can't find any of them. Mr. Notorious Chico, 86. Congrats on 70K. I got teary-eyed when the Rhodes brothers beat the Shield for the titles and Dusty gave that last bionic elbow. That was a great moment. That's a good one. I forgot about that one. M. Mills, is that Michelle? I think it is. $20 super check. Congrats on 70K. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Yeah, Mr. Dynamite, it was the days of Netscape, GeoCities, AOL dial-up, Prodigy, CompuServe, all that stuff. I'm going to be back with you live on Monday. I will be going live. That is the plan. I will be going live after Raw. Is it going to be permanent every Monday? I am doing it for the month of August. We are going to see how the Triple H era plays out. So far, so good, but it's still early. But yes, I will be live again after Raw Monday night. And I will be live after Dynamite on Wednesday and live next Friday, as I am each and every week. You get me on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Again, if you are a channel member, and I know we picked up a few new ones tonight, but I do want to just remind you that there is a brand new members-only Q&A. It is over an hour long, answering your questions. So now is a great time, if you are not a channel member, to become one. And if you are a channel member, then make sure you go check that out. And if you included a question in the thread, it is very likely that I answered it for you. So please go ahead and check that out. All right, I'm going to leave you with some, why don't we put the confetti and the music back up? We'll leave this up for a little bit. And let's celebrate 70,000 subs. Have a good night, guys.